This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. It is Wednesday, hump day. Another chilly one out there. Around zero, some snow. Minus five. Keep you updated on that. Make sure you stay warm. The Winnipeg Jets beat the Minnesota Wild 2-1 last night in a big Central Division battle on the road to improve the record to 6-1-1. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Connor Hellebuck. We'll talk about everything with the Winnipeg Jets as they now are back in the city and get set to host the Dallas Stars tomorrow night. Defenseman Josh Morrissey is going to join us at 8:45 to discuss everything around the Jets this week as well. The Blue Bombers were back at practice yesterday. It was a closed practice, so we're not quite acutely aware of who is behind center for most of the reps, but we'll delve into the Bombers. We'll hear from head coach Mike O'Shea. We'll also get into the World Series. There is seventh heaven tonight in the World Series as the Dodgers beat the Astros last night to force a Game 7 tonight at Dodgers Stadium. The NFL trade deadline came and went, and you heard Brandon Rewicki tell you that, the Browns, just so close once again, but yet so very far. We'll talk about that as well. We have two chances to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. Jared Clinton from the Hockey News, Brian Munns, Jets analyst, Darren Bombing on the Blue Bombers, and Gus Katsaris from McKean's Hockey, and an hour of your phone calls. Jim Toth, Troy Wester, Brendan Rewicki. Gentlemen, happy post-Halloween. How was it for you all?
It was good. Yeah, I mean, it's so different than when I was a kid in our neighborhood anyway. I really like it, though. I mean, those little suckers at about 5:15 is when they first start arriving at doors in our house. And then Trey had it. It was 6:50-something when we got home. Time for the game, like no interruption. And by 7:30, our entire neighborhood is done. Like there is no one that comes to the door after 7:30.
Really?
I don't know if it's just that young. Like out in Amber Trails there, it's just young, a real young sort of community. It's real beautiful and stuff, but early start, early end, it's about as perfect as you can get. I can remember roaming the streets at 9, pushing 10 o'clock, right? Like you're coming in. Yeah, like, so hey, man, it was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, they came a little bit later in my area, but it was funny because
the hood.
In the hood around Corydon. But
they come every day in the Corydon.
Yeah, that is true. Uninvited. They especially like the back area where my bike used to be. But anyways, it was kind of funny. This didn't happen last Halloween. I don't know if the Jets played or not, but when you walk up to my front door area and you walk up the stairs, you can see what's going on the TV through the front window.
And so you had parents gathering?
And there was a couple parents, but mostly kids, shouting what was going on in the Jets game to the parents kind of, on the sidewalks.
Really?
They'd walk in, and I'd hear like a knock, and then, wait, 1-0? Dad, it's 1-0. Yeah, they're up 1-0. So I just thought it was funny. I didn't really expect that, but the kids were all jacked up to see what was going on in the game.
Well, I was haunted last night by
hunted
the World Series.
Haunted or haunted?
Game. Haunted.
Haunted, okay.
Yeah, no, I haven't been hunted for years, unfortunately. But we don't have to talk about that. Big announcement today. We are going to bring back our mustache rides to the Bell MTS place, all in support of Movember. I will be participating in Movember once again. My co-host will be supporting us. And every Wednesday, we are going to ask you to text in bids for some rides, mustache rides, to the Bell MTS place. So what you do is you text a bid to 1290.90 for the next 2 hours, and we'll update you every segment. We'll update you at the top of the hour who has the leading bid. Put your name on it as well. And the highest bid, all the money raised, will go to the Movember campaign in improving men's health and awareness. And at 8 o'clock, we'll announce who has won two tickets and a ride to this Saturday's game against Montreal Canadiens. Text 129090 with your bid for two tickets and a ride in the TSN mustache vehicle, a big truck with a giant mustache on the front, and we'll get you home via some cab slips as well. So we'll get you to and from the game. This Saturday is our first one up for bid. We'll do it every Wednesday throughout the month of November. Text away 129090 and put your name and your bid there, and we'll update you every segment to see where you are if you're the highest bidder, and we'll go forward. So looking forward to that.
Can you beat a weekend home game, Regional 6 Habs? No, you can't beat that.
With like a four-day growth of a mustache coming in? That, I mean, just like high school all over
Women
again.
Everywhere just shaking their heads in dismay right now. Like, oh,
even some guys going, dude, I'm going to take another buddy to the game. But so this way you get tickets and you get to the game. So start that right away. Okay, fellas, the Jets go on the road. The lines last night. Shifley, Connor, Wheeler, Little, Line A, Ehlers, Kopp, Tanev, Mathias, Hendricks, Lemieux, Armia, the same, Morrissey, Trouba, Enstrom, Bufflin, Kulikov, Myers, and the star of the game to me once again was Connor Hellebuck, who made 28 saves as the Winnipeg Jets went into Minnesota and beat them 2-1.
At the start of the game, to me, it wasn't all about Hellebuck. The start of the game, I was pretty dang impressed with what the Jets are doing, controlling play for the most part, and then, of course, you get the old goofy hand pass forward. What are you talking about, for crying out loud? Like, you know, mid-arm, above the elbow sort of thing, just a goofy sort of a situation. But then they're able to score anyway. And then, of course, as the game goes on, and in a huge way in the third period, the ice is tilted in the favor of the Wild. But the boys also playing with the lead there, and yeah, you'd like to see them end it off a little bit more emphatically, and Connor Hellebuck ended up being absolutely fantastic, and Nikolaj Ehlers constantly is just he's unreal in the things we talk about, his zone entry, what he's doing in the offensive zone. He had a fantastic back check late in that game and was really like where he was in a super helpful spot, super deep in the D zone. But yeah, all in all, just a the boys, again, look pretty sound and solid for the most part, even defensively. I thought Toby had a couple of interesting moments for sure and struggled a little bit, but by and large, the group looked solid again.
Yeah, I didn't really have much of a problem. It seemed like the worst thing that happened to the Jets in the game was scoring that second goal, because the Wild get the first one, and then it's like, all of a sudden, we turn into Jose Mourinho, right? The Jets parked the bus inside their own end, and they didn't even attempt any. Like, it was mind blowing to me how through the first 40 minutes or so, I thought it was at the very least evenly contested, if not more so tilted a bit towards the Jets.
And then factually, it wasn't, but it seemed like that.
Yeah,
somehow. Yeah.
And then it just the wheels just fell off the truck immediately, and it was just a. Once it was 2-1, it basically turned into five guys around Hellebuck, chip the puck out, change, rinse, cycle, repeat. So, look, that is not a successful way to hold a lead. I was just surprised the Jets didn't, and a lot of teams do this too, right, where you get the lead and you kind of avoid everything you did to get that lead in the first place in attempts to just try and, you know, hold on for dear life. So it was great that they got the win. And it was maybe even better that Connor Hellebuck showed no signs whatever of slowing down. I don't even know if you want to call this a hot start. Is this just what we get out of the kid moving forward here? But you know, I thought the Jets were fortunate to get out of 60 minutes without having to go into OT against Minnesota.
One thing I didn't like in the third period, you know, like 5-6 minutes left, and you're in that mindset of, you know, one forecheck, you're plugging things up and all the rest of it. But when the Jets were able to escape their zone, I didn't like how they'd be down and they were in a position where they either A, could take a shot from a highly unlikely place from the ice and lose possession ultimately, or take it down low and eat 10, 15 seconds sort of thing and focus on getting low and staying down low. They didn't do that at all. They were coming into the Minnesota Wild zone and, you know, shooting from the top of the circle on the outside sort of thing and just like little floaters in, losing possession, and then bam, it was out right away. I didn't understand why more of a down-low cycle wasn't emphasized once they were, on the rare occasion, able to escape their zone.
Yeah, and that I don't know if that's them or if it comes from playing Minnesota and they really, you know, prevent that or try to prevent that. I mean, Minnesota, like Paul Maurice, we're going to hear from later in the show, and he says, like, you know where you're going to get night in, night out, and they're strong. I was irate over this no goal, and usually I try to remain unbiased, and I would be doing the same if it was the Minnesota Wild. The ref on the play blew the call twice. It wasn't a hand pass. He blew that. And then he thought it was a pass to Armia and didn't actually see who scored the goal, which I understand the speed of it and all that. I get the official ruling, how it's not reviewable, but there's two blown calls on there. A, he didn't get the goal score, and B, he didn't get that it wasn't a hand pass. So I just wanted to state that. And then, you know, going forward, even from the Minnesota Wild perspective, the officiating was awful last night. And it just... The calls that were, you know, the embellishment calls and then the penalties that were being given to both teams, I had a real problem with the overall officiating last night.
Now, I don't mind if it's the same both ways. If everyone on the ice is dealing with the same
You don't want it to be better than that? You don't want higher standard for both teams?
Specifically, the embellishment by Stalock is the one maybe that jumps out the very most, right? Like, that was absolutely ridiculous.
And the interference on Lemieux, who hits him, what, a split second after he gets the puck, and then Foligno takes a run at Laine 4 seconds. I thought the referee
interfering was really weird,
yeah,
for sure.
I thought
and
the referee
was awful officiating.
Yeah, I thought it was horrific last night. I thought it was terrible. They were awful.
All I'm saying is it was terrible both ways. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't...
I get what you're saying. You don't want
that one team was penalized over the other in that matter.
I get what you're saying. You don't want one team to get an advantage out of it, and I agree with that. But I just think overall the level should be better than what was witnessed last night for both sides. It was just there's got to be a higher standard for officiating in the National Hockey League, in my opinion. But that being said, I agree. They were under siege in that third period, and I really like the start and how they came out. And if there is another negative that I will look at in last night's game, it was the lack of finish. Like, there are opportunities this team had last night, more so than any other game, that they failed to capitalize on. And I'm not concerned about it so far, but there's been a lot of opportunities throughout the 11 games so far this year that the team hasn't been able. Like, it would have been a more positive outcome if they would have buried some of those chances and made it a 2-0, 3-0 game prior to the siege that they were under. But hey, it's a big road win in my opinion, and it's a division win, and they got through it. And Connor Hellebuck at 6-0-1 and 28 saves last night again looked very impressive.
Yeah, and even something more than impressive, maybe. Like, what he's doing, he looks so freaking comfortable. Like, in absolute command of his domain out there. It's a treat to watch. And, like, I was, after the game, I tweeted out, is it at this point in time now, you know, has enough time gone by where you can just openly gush about what he's, the level that he's playing at? And if there's any sort of staying power to this, that is just absolutely spectacular, isn't it? Yeah, he came in last year so highly touted, such great expectation, and has a sub-average year, and then a bunch of Jets fans basically writing him off at all the rest of it, and he looks so comfortable. That's what blows me away the very most. It is he was just in utter command of where he's positioned, and all the rest of it is coming together brilliantly.
And Trevor Kidd was asked that on the pregame show with Kevin Olszewski, and he said, is this like, has the turnaround been done? Is it too early? And he said, well, he always likes to give a goalie a season and then evaluate that season. But he said, you can definitely sit down and say, Connor Hellebuck is on a really good hot streak right now. And he said, usually at the start of the season, you don't say that because every player is getting sort of into things. But he was backing off saying, you know, it's official. He's at a point where we can expect this every night or arrived. But he said it's on its way. And he sort of, and I'm paraphrasing, said you can definitely say that he's on a really good hot streak right now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. That goes without saying. A lot of people, yeah, that's kind of a funny statement almost. But at this 90 games, like he's knocking on, he's got 90 games played, right? People say to start talking about goalies after 100. If he continues what he's doing here for the next 10 games or so, then you can, you know, even with the disappointment, the level of disappointment of last year, which was, to me, it wasn't horrendous, right? It was just something below average. You hope for a little bit more. And we talked about what it broke down to. It broke down to him making 10 10 more saves basically during the course of that regular season last year for him to have a 915. So just the tiny little tweaks that it takes to put yourself in a position to be able to make those saves and better your save percentage to the degree that it is where he's at right now is fantastic.
They've beaten Minnesota twice now. We'll get into more of the Jets, of course, throughout the program today. Get your thoughts on the game and where they're at in the standings as well as they prepare to now host the Dallas Stars. Josh Morrissey will break it down with us at 8:45 as well, and Brian Munns at 7:30. Much more on the Jets and the Wild game in the week that is around the corner coming up. Blue Bombers at the bottom of the hour. We'll hear from head coach Mike O'Shea. But up next, we'll talk about seventh heaven in the World Series. That's next on The Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio on TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN1290 and TSN1290.ca. I don't know if Brett Michaels was at the game last night. Vince Neil's at a Vegas hockey game. That's the last hair metal guy I saw at a sporting event. However, the Los Angeles Dodgers couldn't get to Justin Verlander for five innings. They did in the sixth. He gets his first loss of the postseason. And the LA Dodgers force a Game 7 3-1 over the Houston Astros. Jansen with the save, another six-out save for him. And old Dodger Stadium was rocking last night with celebrities and a lot of intensity as this World Series continues. There'll be a Game 7 tonight. Your thoughts or impressions of the game last night, gentlemen, and then we'll get in to the seventh heaven this evening in the World Series.
It was fun. I definitely focused on the Jets game last night, but anyone that was and wanted to go check out what was going on in the World Series after that, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun to watch, and I can't wait to watch tonight. Especially what's going to really drive it home. Of course, like Darvish getting another chance to go out there after, what was it, 1.2 innings, something like that. He was just in and out his last time around. But the level of desperation and the absoluteness of it in the Game 7, especially as it relates to pitching and who might be in and for how long and all the rest of it, where you just basically, you're standing there and you're empty in both barrels. I love that part of, like, this is absolute 100% must-watch TV tonight. No question about
it. Like, it wouldn't totally surprise you to see Verlander out in the ninth or something, right? Like, that's when it gets... Like, I just love the... I agree. I love the just... This should not be how it works, but it's what you have to do to win. And I just couldn't believe the Dodgers were getting to Verlander in the sixth because it was smooth sailing through five, and it looked like one of those performances that, you know, people talk about forever, right? Where Verlander was going to go 7, 8, 9, and
he just wasn't getting any run support.
No,
right?
It didn't. It's not like he pitched
one
bad.
Run. You knew they were in it.
That's a great point. He might have played longer despite giving up some runs had he had some run support.
Yeah, and you know I think the scariest thing for the Astros is the bullpen of the Dodgers came in and
arrested
that
now.
Day of rest looked like
now.
It looked like it gave him a lot, and they turned from the pinatas they were in Houston to basically unhittable last night. And so you wonder, are they going to have enough left in the tank? Like, was that day off enough, you know, going into tonight? Like, that's basically where this series lies here, because it's probably going to be tight going into the final four innings, but can the Dodgers bullpen, you know, have enough left in the tank?
It was interesting watching the postgame show on Fox, and I left it on because I basically just slid off the couch and was laying there and I couldn't move. But it was funny watching it because, you know, you have David Ortiz, you have Alex Rodriguez, and you have Frank Thomas, and they absolutely adored Game 6 and the bombs and the firepower. And then Keith Hernandez is there, who won an MVP, won a World Series with the Mets in a different fashion as a hitter, hit 300 that year, I believe he got MVP, and he said, this is my kind of baseball. I know you guys like, but this was good, solid, technical baseball. Get them on, get them over, good defense, great pitching. And I agree with him. He sort of saw all aspects of what makes the game great throughout this series. And as they're doing this, they say, what is going on here? And they look, and Astros starter Lance McCullers Jr. is in the outfield warming up after the game. And A-Rod and Ortiz are like, I've never seen this before. And Keith Hernandez says, I don't know what he's doing. I've never seen this before. But he said, this is a World Series where a ton of things have happened that I've never seen before. It's a new era. Both these teams are so talented at both sides of defense and offense that no matter what we see, it's unexpected, but we can expect it because it's just unbelievable. So we go into Game 7. Lance McCullers Jr., who's apparently warmed up already for tonight's start, is on the mound for the Houston Astros. And what do you guys expect for Game 7 in 7th Heaven? And by the way, I can't stand Jock Peterson. That's a personal note for me. what do you expect tonight in Game 7? Lance McCullers Jr. on the mound for the Houston Astros, and Yu Darvish, who didn't get out of the second inning, is on the mound for the Dodgers. And as you said, I expect to see some starters throughout this game.
Yeah, expectations. I just think it's going to be, or you know what, maybe it's more so that this series deserves the cherry on top of an absolute classic Game 7. That's what I'm going to hope for and mildly expect. It would cap off this playoff run here, this playoff season, fantastically so. And I'm going to say that Kershaw is called upon for two innings of work and no one touches him.
Oh, could you? Oh, like, you know what? This game might hinge on Clayton Kershaw. Like, there's a very real possibility of that. And I mean, talk about your career narrative going one way or the other.
Yep.
If you're Clayton Kershaw, you know, silencing all the doubters or just giving them more fuel to put on the fire. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping for a tie game, not a one-run game either way. I got a bad feeling if the Dodgers are up late that it's going to be curtains. But I would like to see a tie going into the seventh. Like, at least get that and then have
that much drama.
Yeah, get it that way. Have somebody play the role of the hero and whatever happens, happens.
I have full confidence that the Astros can get to Darvish again. I have full confidence that if Kershaw gets into this game on that short rest, that they can get to him. I have zero confidence that they can get enough runs in, though, because that's what the problem was yesterday. They had bases loaded. They couldn't get an extra run in. They had guys on first and second. They couldn't get an extra run in when it comes to the bullpen. So if the Astros can get up by 3 to 5 runs before the bullpen comes in, I think they have a good shot.
That's a lot.
Like 3-0, 4-0, 5-2, 5-1. But if they don't, I think this is going to go the Dodgers' way, and I fully agree with you. If it's the Dodgers' way by the 7th, I think this thing is over. So we'll see tonight. We'll take your calls on the Boss Pizza fan line at 9 as well. Who do you have in 7th Heaven in the World Series? It should be a great one and already has been a classic one, in my opinion, regardless of who wins tonight. The Blue Bombers returned to practice yesterday. We'll get into that next on The Big Show, TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca, 34 minutes past our opening hour, zero or below, and some snow throughout the day today, here and there. Make sure you bundle up as much as you need to. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki. We'll delve into the NFL trade deadline in this next half hour, and we're also going to get into the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Anchor Products, NHL Power Hours, jam-packed with Jared Clinton from the Hockey News. Brian Munns, Jets analyst, your first chance qualifier for Hockey Nights in Vegas. We'll hear from the Jets as well after their 2-1 win in Minnesota last night to improve to 6-3-2 on the season. Bidding is now open. Join us here at TSN 1290 this November to help raise funds and awareness for men's health. Men are dying too young. 45 men die from prostate cancer every hour. Testicular cancer is the most common cancer in men under 40. The Movember movement addresses these issues by raising funds and awareness for men's health projects around the world. You can help by placing a bid on today's TSN 1290 mustache ride to Bell MTS Place. Between 6 and 8 a.m., we're auctioning off a mustache ride in our specially decorated TSN truck to see an upcoming Winnipeg Jets home game. Our Mofers... will provide transportation to and from Bell MTS Place with a pair of Winnipeg Jets home game tickets, which today is for this Saturday's game, November the 4th, Winnipeg Jets versus the Montreal Canadiens with a 6 o'clock puck drop. To place a bid, simply text your name and amount you'd like to donate to 129090. Whoever the top bidder is as of 8 a.m. will score our Jets tickets and a mustache ride for that day, with all proceeds going to Movember and Men's Health Initiatives. Winnipeg Blue Bombers, gentlemen, returned to the practice field yesterday. It was a closed practice, and it is the first of only two this week. Of course, the game Friday in Calgary against the Stampeders, and Manuk Dentre Blue Bomber game day will tee you up for that right here on TSN 1290 on Friday. But no clue who was under center yesterday for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, whether it was Dom Davis or Dan Lefevre. But here's head coach Mike O'Shea from yesterday's media availability on talking why they went with Davis over Lefevre at the start of the year.
I think he still has the opportunity to play this game. You know, I really do. I think we got another day of practice, and we'll see how it goes. Dan's also had more starts and, you know, some more success in this league as a starter, right?
Yeah, it's
short and sweet.
Now, I'm seeing some people rail a little bit on what he did during that game last time, and warranted. You know, he looked absolutely horrible. But it is really important to remember, and if you don't recall seeing Dan Lefevre, it is really important to remember him coming into that week last week. He was a third-string quarterback, which means all week he gets literally zero snaps with the first team. Nothing. Now, you'd like to see him come in and show some level of promise, and he didn't. He looked horrible. A couple suicide passes, the cross-the-body nightmare, and also that second interception. I'll put that more so on trying to remember the receiver that was out to Coates. Coates was pathetic in allowing that ball to be intercepted, made no play on a floater out near the sideline. But he didn't look good. Having said that, now, with this week, getting prep, and I think, you know, if I'm going to go with who I think we can win with, it seems to me, reading between the lines in what I've heard and what I'm hearing from the coaches, that Lefevre is going to get the start. That's what it sounds like. And I think you go in there, you prep all week. It's a night and day difference. Like, all year he's been the third-string quarterback, which means all that he's doing, every practice, thrown to the scout team. He's not working with the starters ever. And I questioned right after that game that had the Bombers had – if they had sort of altered their approach to this Dan Lefevre-Dom Davis thing, where if Lefevre won the – if they gave him the backup spot, which I think that they should have, and I was shocked that they didn't, instead of this sort of, you know, Davis has been here X number of years, he's the same with when – Think of when Kevin Glenn was here last year. How in the hell was Kevin Glenn not the backup quarterback, but Dom Davis was listed as? Like, what the hell is that all about? And then you go get this Dan Lefevre, who I've said all along has a lot of similar traits to Matt Nichols. Matt Nichols arrived here as a Cowboy, and he arrived here as a guy at about 50-50 or 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. There's a lot of similarities to prior to Matt Nichols getting under the umbrella of Paul LaPolice. There's a lot of shared traits there. So I think that Paul LaPolice, that guidance, can affect Dan Lefevre in much the same way. I don't know that it's going to happen right away here. But also, on a larger scope here, they're both 30 years old. And I just don't understand why, when signed, you got Nichols, who's your without doubt starter, good for the next 4 or 5 years, and you got Dan Lefevre, who's still physically capable, and you can give him all the backup reps, put him in the game, like not a Clemens Hufnagel thing here, but something along those lines. We got guys walking arm in arm the same age that are going to be here for the next 4 or 5 years. That position is taken care of. So why this force feeding to Dom Davis, who just, you know, he doesn't look comfortable throwing the ball, and he has no resume compared to Dan Lefevre, who was a train wreck last week, sure, but he does have a resume, and we've seen him at points in his career look like he was poised to be a starter. I think Dan Lefevre can get the job done as a backup quarterback.
I just don't know about either of these guys, really. And it's interesting to me that, you know, you highlighted Dom Davis's basically, not gift wrap, but guaranteed that number two spot going back to last year. And then all of a sudden, at kind of the blink of an eye, you feel like you need to make a change. and go to Dan. So I'm just curious as to how that switches all of a sudden in the course of, what is it, two halves of football, essentially? So close to a game of game film that you see from Davis when LeFever stepped in and, you know, performed worse than Dom Davis did in the prior game. So I don't know. I think I would have leaned towards Davis, but I get what Mike O'Shea's doing here, where you're almost just – you're tapping the veteran here who's had more game experience, right, in a game that technically you have to win. I know you can get help from Edmonton, Saskatchewan, but, you know, if you win the game, you're guaranteed the home playoff advantage. So I understand his thinking of, I'll put the guy in who's just seen more, and he probably gives us a better chance to win this specific week, but – I'm just not expecting a whole lot from Dan LeFever. And I don't know if his game is necessarily tailored either to Paul Lapolice's offense, because when LeFever came in last year, or 2 years ago I think it was, with Toronto, it was bombing out all over the field, big plays galore.
That was Matt Nichols before, man.
Yeah, but I don't know if, like, LeFever's throwing motion is super long. Like, it's not like Nichols gets the ball out quick. When Dom Davis throws the ball, at least he has a quick release. LeFever takes a long time to get that ball out, and I wonder if he's the guy that wants to throw it downfield, and the Bombers just don't have any receivers that are capable of, you know, realistically creating much separation. So I don't know. I'm just not really expecting much out of LeFever in this game against Calgary. I'm looking more towards the Saturday game against Edmonton, Saskatchewan, to see if the Riders can do the Bombers a favor, and hopefully Nichols is healthy for the home playoff game.
Dom Davis on Saturday when he came in against the BC Lions was 7 for 12, 82 yards, 0 TDs, 0 interceptions. Dan LeFever was 5 of 12, 42 yards, 0 TDs, and 2 interceptions. Here's head coach Mike O'Shea on his starters in general, who, when asked yesterday who would be named starter, he wouldn't say.
We've got a good idea, but I think that's what practice is for, right? We need to keep on working in practice and see how everything looks.
He added, I think Dom Davis still has the opportunity to play this game. I really do. We've got another day of practice and we'll see how it goes. But Dan has also had more starts and some more success in this league as a starter. That's about as pretty. You guys think I ride the fence sometimes. That's right on it. We won't know until practice and under center today. And we might not know. Do you think these two split the reps today at practice in view of everybody?
Well, no, I don't. Yeah. Today is what, Wednesday? Wednesday,
this
Thursday.
This is last practice.
Yeah, this is last. I think that there, it sounds to me like, just with what he said there, that it's LeFever that's going to start. And Dom Davis, as a backup, has had enough type of reps, I think, during the course of practice, during the regular season, simply as the backup. Dan LeFever would not have had any. Like, the backup quarterback probably doesn't get enough work typically in practice to get comfortable if ever called upon. The third-string guy gets none of it. So I would think that if they're doing this promote third-string guy to the first-string guy to being your starter here, that you want to get him as many snaps as possible during the course of the week.
Yeah, whoever it is, they got to get all the snaps, all the reps. Doesn't matter. You have to. With only two practices and, like, just don't try and outsmart the Stampeders here by, oh, you know, both guys got 50-50 snaps. Like, do you think the Stampeders really care? First off, like, they're going to change and tailor their game plan to try and stop the Bombers' offense, who could barely move the ball against BC. So I just get whoever your starter is, get him all the reps so he's as comfortable as he could possibly be to go into Calgary.
Yeah, I would go with LeFever too, but that's just because I've seen LeFever play. And the limited time I've seen Don Davis, I just haven't. I mean, I saw him on Saturday. I've seen
him. He hasn't showed anything in 3 years. Hasn't showed a damn thing.
So, and that's what I'm hearing too. And I've such limited, even at practice or in a game, have seen him play. So, other news and notes from practice yesterday. Travis Bond, the O-lineman, did not practice. Andrew Harris, quote-unquote, ran around a bit, but was not made available to the media. And Timothy Flanders, the six-game injured list with a hamstring, says he's ready to go now. And that'll be continued to watch. And I heard Mike O'Shea as well speaking about the Andrew Harrison. He said, well, we evaluate it daily. We gather information daily, so a decision won't be made. But Andrew Harris was out there, you know, quote-unquote, running around. But Flanders says he's ready to go regardless. Travis Bond did not practice. And if Bond's not practicing yesterday, we'll have to see today. But you'd expect him not to go if he's not at the final practice full participant.
Yeah. And you're going to, man, if you're going to err on one side or the other here, you're certainly going to err on just keep her parked here, and we'll get at you next week.
Especially the big guy. Like, they, like, get him, make sure he's – you can't risk it right now. You really can't. And I think hopefully they feel the same way about Andrew Harris. But I don't know. I get kind of an uneasy feeling that they're going to find a way to get him into the game Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting to watch as well. Bombers are in Calgary on Friday. Of course, Manuk Dancher, Blue Bomber Game Day, will be on the station with Darren Bombing, Troy Westwood, and Chris Walby to set it all up for you, break it down in halftime, and do a full post game as well. And, of course, Darren Bombing will talk more Bombers and CFL with us at 8 a.m. today. We'll take a break. We'll touch on the Jets some more. Lots of Jets coming up in the Anchor Products Power Hour starting at 7 o'clock. But we'll also get into the NFL trade deadline as well. Next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Stream us on the iHeartRadio app and all your favorite devices, or get a customized playlist to suit your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app today and stream on TSN 1290. From the Royal Sports Studio, The Big Show, Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. The Winnipeg Jets get a 2-1 win against the Minnesota Wild last night down in Mini. Josh Morrissey is going to join us at 8:45 to talk about that, and we'll delve into it much more extensively during the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour coming up. But what that does in the standings, gentlemen, is it puts them in second in the Central Division with 14 points, tied with Dallas, but the Jets have played one less game. They face Dallas this Thursday night at Bell MTS Place. St. Louis is in first in the Central with 21 points in 13 games.
We talked about trying to evaluate the Central. We talked to Matt Larkin with the Hockey News, and they said they spent more time in trying to decipher how the Central is going to play out than with all the other divisions combined. And you look at it right now, and it's the only thing is it's flipped upside down. We said that Colorado, I believe we all agreed, Colorado's the free spot on the bingo card, and then the top six is going to be goodness only knows. Well, it's St. Louis that has created the separation here, sitting on top, and after that, it is just an absolute free-for-all. And the cool thing about this, guys, and it's typically like this anyway, but just with how close the points race is going to be, the entire season is going to be super intense, watching the boys slip in and out, probably, up and down, or two, three teams will be moving in and out of the playoff line, and every single time the boys are on the ice, at least one and hopefully 2 points, monumental intensity and importance on every single game, every single point.
Yeah, I guess that's – I mean, if that's your definition of fun, that's great. I'm not looking – I don't really enjoy it that much. But, it's just – it's crazy. It's almost taking like a soccer or a college football type of feel where – every game feels so critical, right? Like, look at the Wild last night. They had a chance to be, you know, right and create this complete logjam, and now all of a sudden they're last in the division and 4 points out of a playoff
spot.
A couple games in hand, yeah. But it's like it's just wild how one defeat inside your own division all of a sudden feels catastrophic, as opposed to, you know, when it, in all reality, it should just be all, you know, it's only game for a while. It was their 10th game of the season, but it feels like, well, we got this huge hill to climb with so many teams in front of us.
Even Pierre LeBrun was on the afternoon ride earlier this week with Huss and Rick Ralph here on TSN 1290, and he said, well, I said at the start of the year, and I'll stand by it, like, you literally could have every team in the Central tied, he said, at the end of the regular season with the same amount of – that's how close he thinks this division is going to be. We'll delve more into the Jets in the next segment. We'll hear from Paul Maurice as well and Connor Hellebuck, who continues to be red hot for the Winnipeg Jets in net. The NFL trade deadline came and went yesterday. Gentlemen, we were on the air when Jay Ajayi left the Miami Dolphins and went to the Philadelphia Eagles. We knew about Jim Garoppolo going from the Patriots to the 49ers. What did take place yesterday when we were off the air later in the day was the Carolina Panthers trading their number one wideout, Kelvin Benjamin, to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bills are making a move here, right? Like it's and they're dangerous. We were talking about them having fun with their six-pack last week. They're legit. They're pretty dang solid. They got a heck of a defense. Tyrod Taylor's getting it done. And you know, nice solid hold there on the AFC East. And I think you'd be foolish right now. Like they've got they've only played seven games. The Patriots with eight, and they're sitting right behind the Patriots, and they might actually. Now, the Patriots are starting to come around, right? I think their last four games, they've surrendered less than 15 points, so the defense is starting to come into play, but they kind of look like they're poised to maybe challenge the Patriots and most certainly comfortably be in a wild card spot for the season.
Well, the crazy thing is if they beat they play the Jets tomorrow night and they win that game, and I think their playoff probability jumps up to like 80-something percent.
And no one loses to the Jets.
Well, we'll see. But I like the move. I love when teams get aggressive. And especially, like, you know, poor Bills fans. Like, you would think of all the teams in the NFL that the Browns would have the longest playoff drought. But even the Cleveland Browns have been to the playoffs sooner than the Buffalo Bills. Like more recently. And I think the Bills, you know, in terms of North American sports, have the longest playoff drought. It's not just an NFL thing.
Well, speaking of the Browns, a paperwork mix-up have cost the Cleveland Browns quarterback they possibly viewed as a franchise option. Reported yesterday by the NFL Network, the Browns and Bengals had agreed to trade involving Cincinnati quarterback A.J. McCarron, though the Browns filing a paperwork past the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline nixed the deal. The Bengals turned in the paperwork by the NFL's trade deadline Tuesday. The Browns did not. The Browns argued it was close and there should be a grace period. That was their argument for not filing this deal on time. And the reports coming out of Cleveland are the front office brass were celebrating the trade, like high-fiving and doing all this, and they knew this through social media and how they were updating their fans and what they were doing, and basically didn't get it in on time. And the deal is not done for a quarterback to come to Cleveland from Cincinnati.
I saw this story on Twitter, maybe four or five people reporting it, and I still wasn't willing to like embrace it as reality, right? It's okay, like it's not April 1st. Is there something weird that happens Halloween night or day that people are allowed to BS like this? I just refused, and I know it's the Cleveland Browns, right? And so that makes it that much more. Come on, that can't possibly be the case. Celebrating, they got caught up celebrating.
Hey, we got a quarterback. High five.
Wait, did you send the paperwork
in,
right?
Phone starts ringing. Did you guys get the paperwork
They in? Need an exorcism or something with this organization. Like, something profound needs to happen. It's just
they need to be relegated.
Remarkable.
That's what they need.
Does this not
you
sound
like
up
to the CFL for a season?
Well, maybe the CFL. Where they'll go
switch spots with the Stabs for a year.
Where they'll go 6-12 or something. Anyways, it's a bizarre story. NFL trade deadline. Back into the Jets and the Anchor Products of NHL Power Hour next on TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio in the Big Show.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Two to three centimeters of snow today expected. Prepare yourselves. This is the Big Show on TSN 1290 and the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you. We'll have your NHL news and notes. Talk about some hockey news articles on the top prospects under 21 and each team's organization's franchise's top 50. Brian Munch, Jets analyst, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll hear from head coach Paul Maurice. And your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas as well. Want to remind everybody, you can join TSN 1290 this November to help raise funds and awareness for men's health. And we are giving mustache rides every Wednesday, auctioning them off in our mustache TSN truck and tickets to an NHL Jets game. The bidding is now open. Between 6 and 8 a.m. every Wednesday, we're auctioning off a mustache ride in our specially decorated TSN truck. To see an upcoming Jets home game, our Mofers will provide transportation to and from Bell MTS Place with a pair of Winnipeg Jets home game tickets, which today is for Saturday's game, November the 4th, Winnipeg Jets versus the Montreal Canadiens. To place a bid, text your name and the amount you want to bid to donate to 129090, text 129090 with your name and the amount you're bidding on two tickets and rides to and from this Saturday's game against Montreal Canadiens. Whoever the top bidder is as of 8 a.m. will score our Jets tickets and a mustache ride for that day, with all proceeds going to Movember Initiative and Men's Health Initiatives. We'll give you an update throughout this next hour as well on where the bidding's at if you want to up your bid. So text 129090, your name and a bid, and we'll get you two tickets and a ride to and from this Saturday's Jets-Canadians battle at Bell MTS Place. Continuing our hockey talk now, we welcome into the program Mr. Jared Clinton from the Hockey News. How are you, Jared?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Just get your impressions last night's win, 2-1 over the Minnesota Wild down in St. Paul.
Yeah, I think that was 40 minutes, maybe 50 minutes really, of solid hockey, and then 10 minutes of nail-biting action for the Jets. I think that's one of, offensively, maybe they didn't capitalize as much as they would have wanted to, but I think that was a really solid game for the Jets and maybe one of the better games they've played this year.
How surprised are what you with, or I suppose surprised, but just with what Connor Hellebuck's putting together here, not sure how long it's going to last, Jared, but clipping along at a 940 rate, and he just looks so doggone comfortable in net right now.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that impressed me last night is you know, he looked calm. Even when things were getting a little bit hectic in the Jets' end there in the third period, he looked very composed and calm with everything that was coming towards him. There's one moment that sticks out of my head, a shot from the point coming in about 9 minutes left, and it looked like he had no idea where it was. And instead of over-pushing or over-committing to, the side where the puck went, he just slid calmly over there, let the puck go wide, and just reset himself. And I think that's what's really impressive about his game right now is he doesn't look like he's ever overcommitting. He looks like he knows exactly where he needs to be. He seems like he's always square right now, and he just seems confident in his game, maybe more confident than we've seen him in a few seasons.
You got a great piece on Nick Ehlers in the Hockey News and how he's off to the best start of his career, and that basically he's only going to get better. Another impressive goal last night, stripping the puck, going in on a breakaway, getting the game-winning goal. Talk about his start compared to others and where you think this season might go for Nick Ehlers.
Yeah, I think what's really impressive about the way Nick Ehlers started is that he's, and I read about this in the piece, he's shooting more than he ever has before, and I think that's a really important thing for him because everyone knows the tools that he already has. Everyone knows that he's elusive and he's got this incredible speed. But if he wants to take his game to the next level, he's really got to start, being more confident in his own ability to score. And when I was speaking with him, he said he really is. He has faith now that he can really capitalize when he gets his chances, and that he's taking those chances when he sees them. So, as long as he continues doing that, I really don't see, him slowing down even the slightest. He's on pace for the best year of his career, and I think that's exactly where everyone kind of expected him to be or should have expected him to be, because he's grown every single season he's been in the league so far. Last year was kind of his coming out party a little bit, but I think people are going to look at him this year as maybe a guy that was underrated on the Jets. Everyone talks about Scheifele and Wheeler and Laine, but I think Ehlers kind of flew under the radar everywhere outside of Winnipeg, and I think he's really turning some heads around the league right now. And I just think his growth is going to be incredible as the year progresses.
Jared, a lot of people had Tampa Bay as kind of a breakout season or a get back to the top of the Atlantic season. At 10-2-1, how impressed are you with them?
They look unflappable, unbeatable. There's not enough words to describe how well they've played. Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov, this has to be one of the best tandem starts maybe ever in the NHL. They're remarkable offensively. Those two guys are playing off each other so well. And Ken Campbell wrote a piece about, Steven Stamkos' transformation a little bit into more of a playmaker, which is a strange role for him given that we know what he can do when he's firing the puck. So the fact that he's kind of transitioned and transformed his game into being, the setup man for Kucherov in a sense is incredible to see. And the way he moves the puck to Kucherov has been impressive. But it's not just Kucherov and Stamkos. It's, Braden Point and Vladimir Mestikov, who are also producing well. You know, defensively, Victor Hedman is, you know, going to be a Norris candidate, or at least in the Norris conversation for, you know, the next 5, 6, 7 years. And I wrote a little bit about Andre Vasilevsky, who, you know, Tampa Bay kind of had to have a lot of faith in the fact that Vasilevsky would be a number one guy in the future. And it seems that each passing game this season, he's only getting better. I mean, he's had a tough outing here or there, maybe, but, you know, he's really kind of emerging as a guy that the, you know, Tampa Bay can rely on to carry them forward, which I think is what they need in goal. You know, some stability at the position to kind of help drive the rest of the machine, you know, to the top.
Jared Clinton joining us from the Hockey News on the Big Show, TSN 1290 and the Anchor Sports NHL Power Hour, 11 minutes past the hour. Jared, you had a piece about the third week of October on the Montreal Canadiens and how it's bad, but it's not as bad. And we've now seen them start to score the past two games and get some points. Just maybe go over that piece a little bit and what you saw that, you know, everybody thinks, well, in Montreal anyways, if this is devastating, but your thoughts on what was going right for them despite the lack of success.
Yeah, one of the big things that was an issue in Montreal was they just, you know, early in the season we start to see some weird things with shooting percentages, and that's just because we haven't played enough games. Teams aren't, you know, some teams will be firing at like 2.5%, you know, at 5-on-5, and that's just not going to last throughout an entire season. You know, most teams usually float, even at the bottom end, float around 6.5%. So, you know, your top teams are shooting at, you know, 10-11%. And with Montreal, it was just way, way, way too low, their shooting percentage, for it to continue that way. And I think the thing that kind of, you know, adds on to that theory that eventually things are going to come around for the Canadiens is that they were just dominating play. You know, when they had the puck, they were driving it up the ice. They were getting more shot attempts than, you know, most teams were. And with that kind of offensive pressure, eventually the dam's going to break and pucks are going to start going in. And, you know, in that piece, I kind of mentioned that Claude Julien last year in Boston had the same issue, and that's kind of what cost him his job, is the Bruins just couldn't score. And, you know, whether you want to talk about shot quality or where the Canadiens are actually putting pucks on net from is another topic altogether. But, you know, eventually when you put that kind of pressure on goal, things are going to start going your way. And I think we're seeing that, like you said, with Montreal right now, is that offensively, they're going to be all right. You know, I think there's still some questions defensively, and you really want to see Carey Price start to come around if this Canadiens team is going to turn things around. But I think offensively, things are going to start clicking for that team.
Chicago, a lot of people were looking at them and wondering whether or not their depth had finally been eroded and they might be at a place of struggle this year. Your thoughts on where Chicago's at?
Yeah, they're not in a good spot. You know, you look at the divisional standings right now, and Chicago's right near the basin. It's kind of not where anyone ever expects them to be, you know, kind of in this era right here. So that's no fluke either. I think right now the issue is the defensive depth, as you mentioned. You know, they have Duncan Keith, but I mean, if you want to be honest about it, I think Brent Seabrook's kind of a shell of what he was when he was a Cup winning, you know, when he was an Olympian and one of the guys that they relied upon next to Keith. I think the trade of Nicklas Hjalmarsson is really coming back to haunt the Blackhawks. Obviously, it's not really a choice they could make given the cap situation, but Connor Murphy hasn't been able to come in and fill his shoes. You know, Jan Ruda, Michael Kempney, that's not exactly a pairing that you rely upon for, you know, top-tier minutes, but the Blackhawks have had to, and I just think there's so many issues on that blue line right now that you can see them get caved in almost on a nightly basis by teams that maybe they shouldn't, well, not maybe, they shouldn't be getting dominated in possession by. And I think there's some serious, serious issues, and you have to wonder where the season goes for Chicago at this point, because, you know, if the defense isn't working out, that's one thing, but right now the offense isn't really clicking that well either. So if the offense slows even more and the defense can't kind of figure things out on their end, that puts a lot of weight on Corey Crawford's shoulders. And Crawford's had some injury issues in the past, and if he goes out for any length of time, there's no Scott Darling around to bail the Blackhawks out at this point. So you know, maybe Blackhawks fans will be hoping Anton Forsberg is the answer, but you know, I have my doubts about that.
Jared, we appreciate your time. Great stuff as always. You can follow him on Twitter at THN Jared Clinton. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks so much, Jared. Take care, man.
We will take a break here on the Big Show on the Ankle Sports NHL Power Hour. More from the Jets coming up, but also next thing is your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
.780-1290, 12th caller through will be our next qualifier as TSN 1290 and RedTech.ca present Hockey Nights in Vegas. We're sending five lucky listeners and their guests to Las Vegas this November. Well, they'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Vegas Golden Knights on Friday, November the 10th at T-Mobile Arena. We'll supply return airfare to and from Las Vegas, free parking at Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly. Two hockey tickets, Jets versus Golden Knights, November 10th at the T-Mobile Arena, and four nights accommodations on the Strip, and $1,290 in cash to help cover a few extras during your stay. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays at 7:15 a.m., 8:15 a.m. right here on the Big Show, 12:15 p.m. on the Don Vito Roundtable with Kevin Olszewski, and 5:15 p.m. on the Afternoon Ride with Hustler and Rick Ralph. You can also watch for bonus chances to qualify online. Winners will be announced Monday mornings right here on the Big Show. Our next grand prize announcement is coming up this Monday, November the 6th. So there's not a lot of time left to qualify throughout the remainder of this week. You'll find out on the 6th and you'll literally be on a plane a few days later. For more information, check out TSN1290.ca. It's Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by RedTag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals. And us here at TSN 1290, November the 6th, as we are looking for our fifth and final grand prize winner on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
Tell you what, walking around Halloween last night, brother, the kids are all sweating, right? They're in their costumes sweating. I'm freezing my yichis off. And I'm dressed like Nanook, too, so I don't know how that whole thing happened, but fantasizing of trips to warmer climates during the entire time of Halloween last night.
Well, 2 to 3 centimeters of snow expected today too and throughout the week, so there's no better time to head to the desert and
yes,
catch a little hockey than next week on the Big Show, courtesy of the Big Show, TSN 1290.
Next week, huh?
Yeah, November the 6th, Monday, we're announcing it, and then days later you'll be on a plane.
That's
and
cool.
It could be our next qualifier. Our 12th caller through was Mr. Rewicki. Yes,
it is Carla Qualley.
Carla Qualley, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Doing really well, too. Really well. How was your Halloween?
My Halloween was very quiet. I'm out in the country, so, yeah, we don't get too many kids.
You just dressed up as Elvis and sat around the house? And
yeah, that's about it.
Nice. You ever been to Vegas, Carla?
Just on a stopover to L.A.
La-dee-da.
La-dee-da. Excellent. So you were at the airport and that was it?
We spent about one night there, two nights.
Ah, good for you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Do you know who you'd be taking if you should be our next grand prize winner?
Well, that would have to be my husband, Randy, who's on his way to go give blood right now.
Oh, awesome. Randy, good for you. He might need some of that blood back if he ends up in Vegas for whatever reason. I don't know why.
He just might.
He might need to thicken it up a bit after a few cocktails.
Yeah.
Carla, we appreciate you listening to TSN 1290. Congratulations. You are our 12th caller through. Just for doing so, you get a Jets Gear gift card, and you're in for our fifth and final grand prize draw on Monday. We could potentially be calling your name.
Right on. Actually, if you do call me, my radio name is actually Katie Q.
Katie Q, why is that, may I ask?
Those are my initials.
Oh, okay. Katie Q, I like it.
It's a little CCR like kind of song. Katie Q.
There you go. Congratulations, Carla. Thanks for listening to TSN 1290.
Thank you.
Winnipeg Jets, or your next chance to qualify, of course, is coming up at 8:15 today here, right here on the Big Show.
You guys hear about this dude down in Vegas? It's just on Bar Down now on TSN, who's doubling down or lets it ride. He's picked the first six games in the World Series correctly. Last night, he had $8 million on the Dodgers winning. He's younger than 30. He's Eastern European. He's spreading bets across town. Tried to bet $2.8 million at one strip book, but he's letting it all. He's expected to have $14 million in action tonight.
What?
They're not informing. They don't know yet who he's betting on. But yeah, he's predicted each of the games in the World Series correctly, and he's up to 14 mil, and they're thinking that he'll be letting it rip again tonight.
He's letting it ride.
Yeah.
Is his name Magic Johnson?
They don't have a name, just that he's Eastern European and younger than 30.
Wow.
Is his name Magic Johnson? He's got a real big smile.
Yeah.
No kidding.
You got to cash that out, man.
Get out before game six. Yeah. Get out. If you lose that. Winnipeg Jets beat the Minnesota Wild last night 2-1. Here's head coach Paul Maurice's thoughts on the game.
We had a bunch of those. It was another game. Probably our best offense didn't get in behind them. A couple of breakaways that we didn't finish on. But good road game. I liked our game an awful lot right up till it got to be 2-1, and then we were on our heels a little bit. But it was a real good penalty kill and solid game.
Yeah, it was a little bit much, right? Like you get up like that, and sure, like sit back a little bit and absorb to some degree. But I don't think you want to get out. Out Corsi 30-7 or shot 12-2 in the third period. That's a little bit too much to ask of Mr. Hellebuck and the hockey gods to save your fanny back there.
Yeah, it's the park the bus syndrome, right? Where like you gotta try and at least create some sort of a semblance of offense and then spend more than 5 seconds inside the other team's end, and it showed up on the Corsi sheet, right? Like they got obliterated pretty good, and I think most of that damage was done in the third period. I didn't even mind their game that, like, you know, going into the third period and when Ehlers scored, there weren't really any signs, like warning signs or distress signals going out. But for whatever reason, once the Wild got that first one, it was just basically hold on for dear life. And I think they were very fortunate not to have that game tied up and going to OT.
I expected some pushback and some pressure down the stretch of the third period. I didn't expect that much.
The scoring chances are pretty even during the first and second period, and then it goes 10-2 in the third with high danger being 5-0 for the Wild. So they escaped, right? Maybe toughen that one up. And I was just shocked, guys. I said earlier that whenever they got out of their zone, I found them taking shots or like being careless with the puck once they got into the Wild zone in the final 5-6 minutes. Instead of getting it down low, keeping it down, like, you know, just keep it down low. Go get a down low cycle and battle, keep it along the boards, that sort of thing. They weren't doing that at all.
Big divisional win for the Winnipeg Jets. We'll get your thoughts on it on the Boss Pizza Fan Line at 9, and we'll get Brian Munz's thoughts on it next on the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290, and the Anchor Sports NHL Power Hour. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you, continuing to break down this 2-1 win for the Jets over the Minnesota Wild. Down in St. Paul, this next segment is brought to you by Olympic Building Center. We will have your NHL news and notes this hour as well. And, of course, get your thoughts on the Boss Pizza Fan Line at 9 a.m. today. Once again, brought to you by Olympic Homes. We welcome in Jets analyst Mr. Brian Munz. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. It was a Halloween night in Minnesota. There was a lot of costumes in the arena. There was a very good start, and then it got scary at the end. But all in all, a pretty good effort by the Jets.
Yeah, good little night. They were able to go down south and come home with a couple of big points. And to be 2-0 against the Wild and have a really good start to the season against Central Division teams, that's one of the most important things that you can do at this time of the year is take advantage of those teams that you're battling with for playoff positioning. And you know what? It was a really good performance by the club. And once again, Wesley, I saw your tweet at the end of the night last night, and Connor Hellebuck was the first star of the game by a mile.
You got to really be impressed with the level of consistency here that you're seeing from the Winnipeg Jets over the last four games specifically.
Yeah, they've been really good. They really have, and they don't panic anymore. That's the biggest thing for me, at least right now on the small sample size. I think we all need to remember it's 11 games in, and a lot of things can happen, but they're getting their drivers right now to grab the wheel and take this thing. I thought Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler were brilliant in last night's game. Mark was dominant in the faceoff circle last night. an area that he's continued to work on. We talked a lot going into the game about Kyle Connor and how he's fit into the top six, and of course he gets the game's opening goal. And then once again you go back to Hellebuck, and he was able to make some timely saves when they needed it, and they did a really good job against a good Minnesota team too. You take a look at what the Wild had done in their prior two games, both against Pittsburgh and the New York Islanders, and they've been able to win in different fashion. They outscored the Islanders 6-4. They had a defensive game against Pittsburgh 2-1, and the Jets were able to win that defensive game last night. So the club feels good about themselves, which they should right now, and you know they've done a really good job here for the first month of the regular season.
Power play was 0-for-3 again last night, Brian, but the penalty kill was 5-for-5. It continues to get better.
Well, it does, and that, to me, well, first of all, is Hellebuck, and then secondly, you look at Hendricks and Tanev, the way they've been able to, for the most part, start it when they've only been allowed to have two forwards on the ice because somebody's in the penalty box, and they've really set the tone on the bench. You can see the guys leaning over and really intrigued to see what those two guys are able to do, and then it's just kind of infectious where everybody else jumps over the wall, and they're willing to sacrifice Josh Morrissey and Jacob Trouba in their own zone with blocking shots. Tyler Myers able to use that reach to his advantage right now. I think that's one thing that might be getting overlooked a little bit. We saw it four or five times in the game last night, is a healthy Tyler Myers right now and how effective he's been in his own zone, where he's got that wingspan where you just can't get around him, and he's been really solid. So, again, it was a really good game, but really intrigued now to see two of the next three, with Dallas coming in here tomorrow night, and then when the Jets head down to Texas on Monday. A lot of people think that the Stars are the class of the Central Division, and how the Jets match up against them.
There was some wonder when Kyle Connor came back if it was going to be a stick-and-stay situation with Lowry and Perreault at some point in time here coming back. You have any doubt whatsoever Kyle Connor is here to stay for now?
Well, he deserves it at this point. You know, when he comes up, you knew he was going to be here at least a month because of the injury for Matthew Perreault. And I think that was a real bonus for him, that he didn't have to come in and think of it just as a one-game addition or a two-game addition where if I make a couple of mistakes, then they're going to send me right back down at the end of this little thing, because that's what they did at the end of training camp. But, you know, Kyle's come in and he's played really well. Blake Wheeler was just gushing about him yesterday after the pregame skate in Minnesota. And we've talked to Mark Scheifele over the last few days as well, kind of leading into that game, without it kind of being a storyline. And then it kind of developed into one yesterday. And Kyle's been good. You know, he plays a simple but really effective game. When you watch him, he's not one of those loopy players, as Paul Maurice likes to say, that comes out of junior and has so much speed that they like to make the big wide turn and kind of keep going. He's really good at the stops and starts, and he's got a pretty good defensive stick, too, positionally. He has a good idea of what the other teams want to do in the offensive zone, and he's got a good read on how to defend that and then get up in a hurry and try and attack the other way. So he's handled it really well. He's a really good, quiet kid that doesn't like a lot of attention or isn't maybe used to it yet, might be a better way to put it. And he's fit into that top six role right now, and much deserved. He's getting some ice time, and then he gets rewarded last night with the game's opening goal, too.
And, you know, Brian, along those lines, can you talk a little bit about, like, I get a lot of tweets from people going, well, how was he not ready at the end of camp? It was only 2 weeks. And I try to explain to them that you come in, you're expected to make the team, you maybe don't have a camp, and you get sent down. And that 2 weeks with Manitoba and the fact that you were sent down can really help a player, even though it was only 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, A, first and foremost, they were healthy coming out of training camp, and the coaching staff felt that Matthew Perreault, being a veteran, was a better fit in the top six at that point. And Kyle's young. Like, I think that's the one thing that we're all still continuing to learn now, that the Jets have depth, inside the organization. And you look at the Pittsburghs and the Nashvilles and the Detroits, when Vancouver was affiliated with the Moose here for a while, there were some pretty good draft picks that played in the American Hockey League before the NHL came back here for the Moose. And that's what the Jets are doing right now. There's no rush to get a lot of these young guys into the NHL unless they're ready, like a Patrick Laine or a Nikolaj Ehlers. The American Hockey League's a good place to play. The guys learn how to be pros both on and off the ice. And I think for Kyle, it kind of, I don't want to say it was a wake-up call for him, but it kind of gave him that jolt of, hey, this is what I need to do on a nightly basis. He had a really good relationship with Pascal Vincent, and Pazzi worked a lot with him on a daily basis with how his game was developing and watching videos. So right now, you know, Kyle Connor, kind of what Brendan Lemieux said when he came up and got a chance to play his first game, is a benefit of spending some time in the American Hockey League and learning what it takes to play in the best league in the world.
Munsey, people were wondering just how congested the Central might transpire here over 82 games. And right now, like, it's quite remarkable with Minnesota losing that game and being in the seventh spot where you got teams 2 through 7 all within 4 points of one another. This is it sure emphasizes the absolute need to secure a point or two every single time you're on the ice. Watching the Central unfold this year is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it sure is. And I guess the biggest surprise of it right now is how well Colorado's played in the second year right now under Jared Bednar. Like, you would think coming in, and most of the people talking were, you know, Vancouver, Arizona, the Avalanche were kind of that bingo stamp where you go into the night and you're going to leave with 2 points no matter how the game goes. But they've come out and they've played hard. Vegas has surprised a lot of people. And with them being in the Western Conference as well, there's that extra club now that the Jets have to jump over all. So, yeah, they need to take advantage of these Central Division games. And that's one positive for the team when you look at the fact that, you know, last year they had a really good record. And then you take a look going into the game last night, Ryan Moore, the stats guy for the TSN television broadcast, was talking about this. And, you know, in 31 games going into last night that Connor Hellebuck has played against the Central Division, he's 18-2-2 with a 2.12 goals against average, a 9.32 save percentage, and in 18 of those wins, 4 times he was perfect.
He's the best goalie in the Central Division, the Central Division.
Yeah, so you take a look at those numbers right now, and it gives the club confidence against teams here that they're going upon more often than not. And at the end of the day, those are the games you have to win or you have no chance, and they've done a pretty good job. You know, they're 2-0 this year against Minnie, and they were good against the Central last year.
That's insane. That was 18-2-2 in what save percentage?
18-8-2.
Okay.
2.12 goals against, and a 9.32 save percentage in the 4 shutouts. And those numbers will improve after last night's win against Minnesota. Again, that's what Ryan Moyer had for us going into the game last night. So, you know, you take away some of these nights, like you take away the games that they've been blown out the odd occasion where it's either gone wrong for Hellebuck or the team just didn't play well. But some of those games where the Jets have been more close in tight games, Connor Hellebuck has provided really good goaltending.
Brian Munns, Jets analyst here on TSN 1290, joining us on the Big Show on the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour on TSN 1290, 43 minutes past the hour. You look at the month's record, Brian, it's 6-3-2. You think that's a pretty good month. But in reality, although it was just the first month of the season, this team has sort of gone from one gamut to the other in a short first month of the season. What's your assessment of that first month of the 2017-18 year?
Well, I think, like everybody, you want to forget the Toronto game just because you were all hyped about it, and then nothing went right on that night. And then after that, you kind of take out the Columbus game as well. So if you take out those two, the Jets are 6-1-2 over that span. Now, it's easy to say take away 2 losses, but to only have 3 setbacks in regulation in your first 11, to go with some of the opposition that Winnipeg has played, when you look at how good Columbus is, how good Pittsburgh is, you know, the 2 divisional games here against Minnesota to start the season, they've had some good teams that they've had to get some points out of buildings or win on home ice against. So I think right now it's a really good month for this club to start. And just because we've been south of the border more often than not over the last week or so, the old adage is if you're in a playoff spot or you're extremely close to that line by American Thanksgiving, you've got about an 80% chance of getting into the postseason when we reach April. So the Jets have put themselves in a pretty good spot to be where they want to be at the end of the year. They know there's a long season left, but I think it's been a really good start for this team. I think it's a start that the goalie, the defenseman, the forward should feel good about themselves. You know, Paul Maurice continues to talk about the pace of play and the speed in which they're working right now. And you watch elements of last night's game in Minnesota, and I don't know how it came across on the television, but boy, it was a track meet at some times, and the Jets showed that they could skate with a lot of really good players that Minnesota have, and Pittsburgh and Columbus for that matter. So I think there's a lot of things right now that people should be really excited about, knowing that, you know, this club's working pretty hard. And hey, they're going to practice again here today. You know, we were kind of joking about it on the plane last night. They've had success. They're 3-0-2 in their last five. Do they get a day off here because we got home after midnight last night? But they're going to be right out at Bell MTS Iceplex at noon again here today and continue to push forward here. They're not resting on their laurels with what they've done to this point, but they should be happy with it for sure.
Munsey, we're getting ready to dish out these Vegas trips. We're just wondering, where's your tea time on November 9th?
Is that the Tuesday?
That's the day before the game, right? I don't think you guys go to the game day.
I believe that'll be at the 19th yeah. Corona Hole is where Munsey teases off.
Hey, full disclosure here. It's a day off. We thank Ron Hainsey. We all had to sit through a lockout at one point, which was horrible. But at the end of the day, the NHL Players Association has mandated that there's two road days off per month. And what are you going to do? Like,
might as well swing them.
Hey, if you're in the sunshine and there's somebody that there wants to play with you, you might as well go make somebody's day, right?
Somewhere Ron Hainsey's listening to this program going, you like that? You like that?
Hey, Ron's a two handicap. He likes it too.
I bet. Brian, thanks very much for this. Dallas, another big divisional battle tomorrow night at Bell MTS Place. We'll look forward to hearing you on the broadcast as well.
You got it, boys. Talk to you later.
This segment was a presentation of Olympic Homes Ready to Move Specialists. Tour their homes in person or online at olympichomes.ca. We're still looking for some more bids for our mustache rides to the Bell MTS Place. On the line is two Jets tickets to the Montreal Canadiens game Saturday. We'll pick you up in our TSN 1290 mustache truck, and we'll take you to the game, get you home from the game, and two tickets to the Montreal Canadiens. You want to see the Jets and the Canadiens? Text your bid, all in support of Movember, to 1290, your name and your bid on what you'd like to pay for two tickets to the Jets and the Canadiens and a ride to and from Bell MTS Place this Saturday, and the highest bid will take that. We're going to extend it till 9 a.m. today. 1290, your name and your bid, and we'll update you on some bids as we go forward here to make sure that you know if you want to go a little bit higher than what you're willing to pay for two tickets to the Jets and the Canadiens and a ride to and from the game this Saturday, courtesy of TSN 1290 and in support of Movember. NHL news and notes are next on The Big Show, TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290 and the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour. The Jets beat the Wild 2-1 last night down in the beautiful state of Minnesota. We'll continue to delve into that, but it's NHL news and notes time. Before we get to that, we want to remind everybody you can join TSN 1290 this Movember to help raise funds and awareness for men's health. Men are dying too young. 45 men die from prostate cancer every hour. Testicular cancer is the most common cancer in men under 40. The Movember movement addresses these issues by raising funds and awareness for men's health projects around the world. You can help by placing a bid on today's TSN 1290 mustache ride to Bell MTS Place. Between the hours of 6 and 9 a.m., we're going to 9 a.m. today. We're auctioning off a mustache ride in our specially decorated TSN truck to see an upcoming Winnipeg Jets home game. Our Mofers will provide transportation to and from Bell MTS Place with a pair of Winnipeg Jets home game tickets, which today is for this Saturday's battle, November the 4th, against Montreal Canadiens. Puck drop is at 6 p.m. To place a bid, simply text your name and the amount you'd like to donate to 129090. Text your name and your bid amount to 129090. Whoever the top bidder is as of 8 a.m. will score our Jets tickets and a mustache ride for that day, with all the proceeds going to Movember and men's health initiatives. So simply text your bid if you want to pay $50. If you think $100 is worth two tickets and a ride to and from this Saturday's game, just text it to 129090 with your name. We'll keep you updated on the bids and the amount coming in if you want to go higher, or where you stand in the bidding, and we'll announce a winner at 9 a.m. It's all in support of Movember. NHL news and notes time. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. I mentioned this about the top 50 players per franchise in the hockey news. We'll get to that maybe later this week or later today, but right now I wanted to talk about the hockey news has put out, Patrick Laine's on the cover, the top 100 players under 21, 21 and under. So some of these players in the top 100 aren't in the NHL yet. But the Jets have four players there. Number three is Patrick Laine. I guess I should start with number one. Number one is a kid named Connor McDavid.
McDavid.
Connor McDavid is the number one player in the top 121 in the National Hockey League. Number two is Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And number three is Patrick Laine. Number four is Jack Eichel. And number five is Zach Werenski, the defenseman for the Jackets. Laine in the top five at number three. Higher? Lower?
Well, not higher.
I don't know if I'd have him there.
There's been that. That for sure is put to bed, right? The whole Matthews, Laine, who's better, that's done, right?
Well, Jack Eichel and Zach Werenski is behind him. Would you put either of those higher? Is he number three? Top 100 players under 21.
I think you'd have to put Eichel ahead of him. Then, like, Werenski, like, then you get into the defenseman winger debate, you know what I mean? I would say Werenski has more impact on the game than Laine does, but it's just really hard. I think I would have Laine fifth if you made me rank the top five there.
Really?
Yeah.
And you'd move Eichel and Werenski up to number five? Pastrnak for Boston is number six, Aaron Ekblad seven, Ivan Provorov eight, Rasmus Dahlin. Number nine, and William Nylander comes in at number 10. Charlie McAvoy is 11th, the defenseman for the Bruins. Going on, down the list, Mr. Nikolaj Ehlers comes in at 13 for the top 100 players under 21. Laine's third, Nick Ehlers is 13. Mitch Marner's 12, Thomas Chabot is number 14. I think Ehlers right now is miles ahead of Thomas Chabot.
Well, Ehlers, yeah.
Sebastian Aho is 15. That's your top 15, with Ehlers at 13, Marner at 4.
Time will tell. I was having a fun conversation yesterday.
Sorry, Marner at 12.
Ehlers is damn good.
Is Mitch Marner better than Nick Ehlers? He's one spot ahead of him.
Is Nick Ehlers better than Patrick Laine? Now, they're such different skill sets, right? You got a guy who, for the most part, needs to be fed and is lethal when fed. And you have another guy who is masterful
just eats
of stirring the drink.
Well, I'll tell you what. Nick Ehlers has been the best offensive player for the team so far this season.
Yeah.
I don't even know if there's I mean, not that Scheifele and Wheeler have been bad, but Ehlers.
If you're speaking strictly offense, for
sure. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, when you talk about somebody popping off the page or on the TV screen, Ehlers is just – he just oozes creativity and skill and that sort of thing. It's a little tough for me because Laine's shot right now is top three in the entire planet. And if he's able to, I just think he's going through a bit of a dry spell right now. But once he gets into one of his patented hot streaks, then we'll go, oh, yeah, that's why he's number three or number four or number five and the top, 100 players under 21. But I would say that when you look at Pastrnak, Nylander, and Ehlers even, I don't even know if you could separate either one of those guys. Like, they all have such similar games and skill sets.
Do you think Nylander's as remarkable as Ehlers?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I don't see the same degree the impact Nylander does with as Ehlers, man.
We'll get a break, but we'll get
you're,
to the
you're
other.
Wrong. Just kidding.
The other two that's on the list. Kyle Connor is 58th in the top 100 players in the National Hockey League under 21, and number 61, three spots back, is Jack Roslovic.
Well, that's great news for projecting forward.
So four Jets in the top 100, 21 and under list from the Hockey News. Patrick Laine, number three, Nick Ehlers, 13th, Kyle Connor, 58th, and Jack Roslovic, 61. We can talk about that on the Boss Pizza fan line at 9-2. Up next, we'll get back into the Bombers. Darren Bombing on the Bombers on the Big Show on TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Having a great time. Our province is packed with shining stars in the world of sports. Every week, TSN 1290, we like to showcase and reward these individuals who are making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, coach, or volunteer who's dedicated to making their sport matter. Every Friday on The Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. TSN1290.ca has all the details. And that's where you nominate your sports star. We could be featuring them this Friday on The Big Show. TSN1290.ca. Just nominate the name. Put a little write-up in there. And we could be choosing them. Subway, Eat Fresh, our good friends there. It is Movember, officially today. And I'm jumping on board once again. And so is TSN1290. And for those people who are just tuning in, TSN 1290, the Movember movement helps raise funds and awareness for men's health. You can help by placing a bid on today's TSN 1290 mustache ride to Bell MTS Place between 6 and 9 this morning. We're auctioning off a mustache ride in our specially decorated TSN truck to see an upcoming Winnipeg Jets home game. Our Mofers will provide transportation to and from Bell MTS Place this Saturday, November the 4th. And give you two tickets to the Jets and the Canadians, and they'll get you home again as well. To place a bid, simply text your name and amount you'd like to donate to 129090. Whomever the top bidder is as of 9 a.m. will score our Jets tickets and a mustache ride for that day, with all the proceeds going to Movember and Men's Health Initiatives. So we can happily say that Steve Hoppner is the highest bidder right now at $300. $300, Steve, you're helping Men's Initiatives, and right now are the top bidder for a ride to and from Saturday's Jets game at Bell MTS Place versus the Montreal Canadiens. If you would like to get in on that and place a higher bid, the top bid right now with an hour to go is $300. And thanks, Steve, and everybody else who has so far weighed in with supporting that great initiative. We're going to talk Bombers now. Much more hockey coming up. And Josh Morrissey live at 8:45 with us from the Winnipeg Jets. But right now, we welcome back in TSN's very own Darren Bombing. How are you, Bomber?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
I'm very well. Are you going to join me in growing a greasy stash and creeping out everybody at Bomber practice for the next month?
Well, that would be hard to do, you know, because honestly, the Blue Bombers this year, a lot of the players, even some of the coaches, they've grown some really impressive mustaches this year. Nice. I know Pat Neufeld, who's been starting at left guard in place of Travis Bond, he went as Darren Cameron's math teacher for Halloween.
DB, are you expecting Lefevre to start this week?
I really am. Yeah, just reading between the lines. And here's the thing, guys. Mike O'Shea was holding his cards close to his vest yesterday, did not want to reveal who was going to start in place of Matt Nichols, who he's holding out this week. Didn't even want to say, you know, if it's health-related as far as the reasoning behind holding Matt Nichols out. But we know Nichols will not play Friday. And, you know, just kind of reading between the lines, there's no doubt in my mind. They have identified their starting quarterback. They would not go into a very short two-practice prep week not knowing who their quarterback was. But that was kind of, you know, the deal Mike O'Shea was trying to sell yesterday. We'll see how the practice week goes. We've got another day to prepare. We'll see who emerges. There's no doubt in my mind. They have their guy. You don't go in to a Week 20 matchup against the best defense in the Canadian Football League, you know, being wishy-washy on who your starting quarterback is. You know, in asking Mike O'Shea yesterday why it's not a simple decision, 13 months now, he has been repeatedly very clear and adamant that Dominique Davis is his number two quarterback, but now that's not the case. They're unsure. You know, they're not clear with who, you know, would be the starter now that Matt Nichols is down this week. So just kind of reading between the lines, listening to Mike O'Shea talk about, you know, the more experience and the more success as a starter that Dominique Davis has. Seven starts through his six CFL seasons. He's 2-5 as a starter, and his last start coming against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers last September. Threw four touchdowns before he threw two interceptions in a loss to the Argos. You guys remember that that game? That was with Drew Willey in a new number two double blue Argonauts jersey, standing on the sidelines on the other side of the field at Investors Group Field. But again, you know, we're going to find out for sure today because we'll be able to have some eyes on practice and see who's getting those first team reps. But I'd be very surprised if it was not Dan LeFevre who gets the start this week.
And in your mind, you're at all the practices. Is that the right choice?
Well, you know, if,
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, if I knew that, I'd be in football coaching. But, you know, that's not the case. I'm a reporter and not a football guy. You know, I think Dan LeFevre with a prep week gives you a better chance to win. You know, Dom Davis was given 7 offensive series in that Blue Bombers game against BC last week after Matt Nichols went down to that lower body injury. Did not look comfortable. You know, he went 7 of 12 for 82 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But it just something seemed off. Something seemed uncomfortable in Dominique Davis's game. And when Mike O'Shea decided to pull the trigger and say, well, let's get Dan LeFevre in there and see what he can do, you know, give him the last 5 series of the game, you know, Mike O'Shea said they had about a quarter left and wanted to see what Dan LeFevre could do and try to get the ball moving down the field. That told me everything that I needed to know. You know, if they didn't have the faith to give Dominique Davis the rest of that game, I can't see them, you know, wanting to give him another shot this week with a full week of prep and going into Calgary. So is it the right decision? Well, I guess we'll find out Friday night after the game if they're able to pull off a win over the Calgary Stampeders. But, you know, I was mentioning this with Kevin Olszewski on the Don Vito Roundtable yesterday. The Calgary Stampeders have lost 2 games in a row for the first time since 2012. They are going to be really fired up to go into the postseason with a win and with some momentum because they've got the bye next week. They're going to be hosting that West Final on November 19th. There is no way Dave Dickinson wants his team going into the playoffs on a 3-game bender. They're going to be wanting to go in with a win with some good feelings because that's very important. You know, the Stampeders need that. The Riders and the Eskimos are both playing really strong football right now. The Blue Bombers and Calgary, that meeting in week 20 is really going to see who goes into the playoffs with some momentum and who goes in not feeling so good about their game on a bit of a 3-game losing streak.
DB, I like to think, or I'm like an old school sort of guy with a new school understanding. We're like when I was playing, I sort of experienced both eras almost, the outgoing of the old school and the incoming of the new school. And I completely understand and profoundly respect the mentality of where, and this might sound hardcore, but I think it's the truth, where guys are basically willing to die out on the field playing the game that they love.
Yeah.
Having said that,
yeah,
to the degree that Andrew Harris got KO'd, like the toughest hombre that many of us, or right up there with the very toughest that any of us have ever seen, and for him to, you know, being held up and all the rest of it, and given today's climate and environment with head injuries and all the rest of it, it's shocking to me that there's a possibility he might play Friday night.
Yeah, you know, I think the Blue Bombers are selling the fact that he's okay. And I'm not saying that he's not okay. You know, he was on social media after the game. You know, he said, quote, your boy is good. You know, they said he was out on the practice field yesterday. It was a closed session, so we didn't get any eyes on anybody. But they said he was out there running around, still unclear if he will be in the lineup on Friday. But I think there's tons of merit to what you're saying, Troy. There is that old school versus new school, new schools of thought in the game of football with head injuries, with, you know, the crushing blows and types of things that, you know, the type of play that Andrew Harris took in that game. I think they want to show that he is okay, that it's not going to be a lingering issue or a lingering storyline going into that Western semifinal on November 12th, whether it's here in Winnipeg or in Edmonton if they get a win and Calgary gets a win over Winnipeg this coming weekend. Again, you know, I really feel that's why Timothy Flanders was made available to speak to the media yesterday following the closed practice. I feel the Blue Bombers, similar to what they're doing with Matt Nichols, they know Andrew Harris is critical to their success on offense. I don't expect him to play this week, but I really do feel the Blue Bombers are going to practice him. Either he's going to run, he's going to participate. But, you know, again, I think you take the cautious route. Even if he feels fine, no headaches, he's able, you know, screen time on his phone, watching television, movies, whatever it might be. You know, he was tweeting this week that he wanted to watch the latest episode of Stranger Things 2. You know, so those are all positive signs that he's running around, that he's not been limited in that sense. But you got to take the cautious route, especially if you're not starting Matt Nichols. You sit down number 33. Make sure he is as close to 100% as possible, because you know if the Blue Bombers find success in the CFL playoffs, 33 is going to be an absolute workhorse and a critical piece.
Darren, right before we let you go, the O-line, Travis Bond didn't practice again. What do you expect? Who's in, who's out come Friday night?
I expect them to stay with the status quo with what's been working the last 2 weeks. Pat Neufeld, you know, just watching the game with Chris Walby there, on game days and seeing what Pat Neufeld brings, he is like almost the ideal sixth Canadian offensive lineman. Well, A, he's Canadian, and B, you know, versatile, can play tackle, can play on the interior, can even play center in a pinch. And he plays with a great edge. I don't expect the Bombers to make a change there. Again, with Travis Bond, an upper body injury, no real prognosis or indication of how serious the injury is. Get him healthy, and you know, again, it'd be nice to have him for the postseason.
DB, we appreciate it as always. Great stuff. We'll look forward to your reports throughout the day and tomorrow as they head to Calgary to take on the Calgary Stampeders. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, you got it, guys. Have a good day.
Take care, bud.
Darren will also be hosting Manuk Dencher Blue Bomber Game Day on Friday as well, with Walby and Westwood getting you set up for the game as well. Your next chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas is coming up, as well as we'll hear from Connor Hellebuck and Josh Morrissey live at 8:45, all on the Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekday 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Welcome back to the Big Show, and it is time to ring those phones. Your second opportunity to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by TSN 1290 and RedTag.ca. We're sending five lucky listeners and their guests to Las Vegas this November. We'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Vegas Golden Knights Friday, November the 10th, T-Mobile Arena. Part of the prize, or all the prize, includes return airfare to and from Sin City, free parking at the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly, four nights accommodations right on the strip at the MGM Grand Hotel, and $1,290 in cash to help you cover a few extras during your stay, and two hockey tickets, Jets versus Golden Knights, November the 10th at T-Mobile Arena. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays at 7:15 a.m. and 8:15 a.m., 12:15 p.m. on the Don Vito Roundtable with Kevin Olszewski, and then 5:15 p.m. is your last chance daily, weekdays, on the afternoon ride with Huss and Rick. Watch for bonus chances to qualify online as well. Winners will be announced Monday mornings on the Big Show. Our next grand prize announcement is this Monday, our next and final one, November the 6th. So you have to get in. I know a lot of you are trying. Please be patient. Please keep trying. We're trying to get to everybody. More info at tsn1290.ca. Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by RedTag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals, and TSN 1290. Well, we get our 12th qualifier, or 12th caller through, and our next qualifier, we're talking Halloween costumes, and LTI from Virgin Radio yesterday went as Gord Downie, but nobody got it.
And well, unless you go with what Downey was wearing at the end,
yeah,
right, or at the glittery stuff and the hat.
And I saw somebody did that. Like, somebody had the neck scarf and everything
that, yeah,
with the feather and the hat and stuff, and I got it. Mm-hmm. But poor LTI at our affiliate station, Virgin here, went as him, and he got like Bruno Mars and all these, yeah, other guesses, and it brought up the whole fact of what was your worst Halloween costume. And for me, I was a big as a child.
What grade is this, JT?
This is the second grade.
I think it's 7 years. That makes it that much.
So my grandparents, you know, were country music fans, and my mother, and I grew up, and one of the first albums I had was Kenny Rogers, The Gambler.
Uh-huh.
And I used to run around the house. You got to know when to hold them. To extend this story further, for my pregame nap in college before our soccer games, the only thing that would help me sleep is I'd get home in the afternoon, I'd put on The Gambler, and I'd be out. And by the time Ruby came on, Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town, I'd wake up. And I'd be like, it just helped me sleep. I don't know why. But anyway, so second grade, my mom's like, why don't you go as Kenny Rogers? So I go to school. I'm being Kenny Rogers. Not a clue who I was.
You just wear like a sport coat?
And even when I would tell, I'm Kenny Rogers, people would be like, who? Like, we're in the second grade. Have you heard of Spider-Man? And I'm like, one of the worst decisions I ever made for a Halloween costume. You gentlemen, worst Halloween costume?
I don't think I ever had a horrible one like that. I don't recall such a scarred experience.
Yeah, maybe not. I was a bit older at least, but I was at a social and I'm a huge fan of The Godfather. So I just finished watching it like five times probably. So I was like, I'll be the Godfather this year. And I dyed my hair to get into character and everything.
Did you offer the ring to be kissed and all the rest
of it? Oh, yeah. That did not go over well.
No?
And had like the rose and everything. And
guys like, that tolerate the kiss in the ring at 8, 9, 10, and then liquid courage kiss.
Especially, do the Pacino, death kiss, the second one.
Fredo!
It broke my heart. But, everyone was like, what are you, just some old businessman? I'm like, no, come on, I'm Corleone. They're like, I think one person called me Bernie Madoff, and then I just left the social. Like,
what are you, death of a salesman? Yeah, it was awful. It was like, I'm Kenny Rogers. Islands in the Stream. Do you know who Batman is? Like, what are you doing? Have you seen Star Wars, Toad?
Oh,
it was
man.
The worst day of my life in the second grade. I still like Kenny Rogers, though. Anyway, our 12th caller through on Hockey Nights in Vegas, brought to you by TSN 1290 and redtag.ca, is...
It's Chris Nielsen from Thunder Bay. How about
Chris
that?
Chris Nielsen T-Bay. From T-Bay. Will we get him to Vegas? We will, won't we?
We'll figure it out if he wins.
Good for you, Chris Nielsen from Thunder Bay, the Thunder and Bay.
Yeah.
Well done. Just for doing so, Chris, you get a Jets Gear gift card today, and you are in for our final grand prize draw on Monday, this Monday, November the 6th, for Hockey Nights in Vegas. Your next chance to qualify is, of course, tomorrow and Friday. Four more chances here on The Big Show, one more chance on social media, and then four more chances total on the Don Vito Roundtable. Well, six more chances if you include today and the afternoon ride on TSN 1290. The Jets beat the Minnesota Wild last night 2-1 and improved to 6-3-2 on the season. We're going to hear from Connor Hellebuck in our next segment at the bottom of the hour. And then, of course, at 8:45, Josh Morrissey is going to join us live. It's a month, gentlemen, of October, 6-3-2. Your impressions of the Jets so far?
Well, I think ultimately it'd be real hard. You'd be real hard pressed with the way things started this month, the Toronto-Calgary start, that was train wreck extraordinaire. And for them to bounce around, and now we've seen, do you think about since the Columbus debacle on the 17th of October, you go Mini, Pitt, Columbus, Pitt, Mini, like they look pretty dang good right now. I think it'd be hard-pressed to be a Jets fan and not feel pretty satisfied where the team's at right now. Tip of the hat to them. I think they're playing at a real good level.
I don't know if I can say real good level because there's some underlying numbers that are very, very scary. But, I mean, by far the most positive thing is the Jets arguably have the hottest goalie or the goalie that's playing the best in the league right now. He's right there behind Rene and Quick in terms of save percentage. And that's, I mean, Connor Hellebuck's just been a revelation so far. And if he can, not those kinds of numbers, but if he can be in the 920s for you this year, there's not a lot of teams that get 920 goaltending and miss the playoffs, right?
You're in the playoffs.
So that, I mean, that is easily the most positive thing. But I would say, the Jets are the 29th ranked possession team in the NHL. And 27th in expected goals for. Those numbers got to get better. And I'm willing to hold off a bit of judgment until Lowry and Perreault come back to see, hopefully those numbers get a bit better. But I would like to see more offense out of this team. I think only 19 shots last night, was it? They don't get a ton of rubber on the net. And it just, I know injuries have been a part of it, but outside of the Scheifele and Wheeler, it's been kind of, and Ehlers, it's been kind of hit and miss from everybody else.
Outside of the top six, at least the bottom six has done something as of late, right? And that'll improve with Perreault and Lowry, too.
This is a good start. It's the second best start since the return here to Winnipeg. I'm happy. I'm not, you know, overly impressed because I kind of expected this from this roster. But you make a great point. If there is a concern, it's not to me the lack of scoring and everything else. It's the possession numbers. That has to improve for this team. But for 6-3-2, I think it's a good start to the season and look for them to get better at all aspects of the game, including those possession numbers. We'll get your thoughts on the first month of the season at 9 o'clock. We'll hear from Connor Hellebuck next and Josh Morrissey live at 8:45. Lots to come on the Big Show here on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio at TSN 1290, Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki, and you have another half an hour to the Boss Pizza fan lines open. Lots to talk about today. And you have another half hour to get in on our mustache rides to the Bell MTS Place and Winnipeg Jets games. Men are dying too young. 45 men die from prostate cancer every hour, and testicular cancer is the most common cancer in men under 40. The Movember movement addresses these issues by raising funds and awareness for men's health projects around the world. We're jumping on board here at TSN 1290. We'll create a TSN 1290 Movember page if you want to join our team. And, of course, I will be growing a Movember this year. You can help by placing a bid on today's TSN 1290 mustache ride to Bell MTS Place. Every Wednesday we're going to do this. And between 6 and 8 a.m., we're auctioning off a mustache ride in our specially decorated TSN truck to see an upcoming Winnipeg Jets home game. Our Mofers will provide transportation to and from Bell MTS Place with a pair of Winnipeg Jets home game tickets, which today is for this Saturday's game, November the 4th, 6 p.m. puck drop between the Jets and the Montreal Canadiens. To place a bid, text your name and the amount you'd like to donate to 129090. Whomever the top bidder is as of 9 a.m. this morning will score our Jets tickets and a mustache ride for that day to and from the game, with all proceeds going to Movember and Men's Health Initiatives. The current top bid is $300. So if you want to go $350, you want to go $400, you want to go $305, the top bid by 9 a.m. today, by texting your name and the bid to 129090, will get two tickets to this Saturday's Jets-Canadiens game and a ride to and from the arena, all in support of Movember and courtesy of us here at TSN 1290. The Jets beat the Minnesota Wild last night 2-1. Connor Hellebuck made 28 saves. He's now 6-0-1 on the season. Here is Connor Hellebuck postgame.
Connor, just the way your club was able to hold on in that final period, what did you see from the guys in front of you, and how much of a scramble did it seem for a while that at the end of the night is able to turn out on your side?
You know, the same thing I've been saying for the last month. You know, they're really doing the fine details, and they're really chipping in, and not a single guy's taking a night off, and I think that's what's great about these guys. We've really bonded, and you can tell they really care.
On those power play situations for them, it's a cliche that the goaltender is sometimes your best guy in the PK, but you were really sound, I thought, with your club of men short.
Yeah, you know, I think that's my role. You know, power plays are so good at this level, and guys practice it so much, you really got to be on top of your game.
You knew they were going to push back at some point at 2-0. You knew it was coming, and certainly they did last bit of the third.
Yeah, you know, and then they got that one, and, you know, I kind of knew that they were going to start pressing, and I'd take a drink of water and get focused on, because the next 5 minutes were going to be hectic.
What's the key for you here this season?
Just working hard, you know. Just started in the summer, and not that I ever didn't work hard, but I really figured out my game, and I really was able to replicate it, and now I know exactly what I'm doing every night.
When you say figure out the game, did that come last year and you just kind of worked on it this offseason, or what do you mean figure out your game?
Well, I was slowly improving all last year, and then I went and got a new trainer, and Dubnik's trainer, and they really simplified it and made it very easy for me to kind of replicate my game and how the body moves and the goalie moves.
6-3-2 for the team. First month of the season's over. How do you assess what your club's been able to put together to this point?
Very good first month. We're going to look to improve it because they have a couple losses in there. And, yeah, that's what I said.
You know what's really cool about what he says there and implies? Where you come in to last season and have your first disappointing season on record. And prior to last year, you're 2 years in the A, above 921, 922. Before that, at UMass, 941, 952. With the Odessa Jackalopes the year before that at 930. He's not even really maybe aware of any weaknesses. And you come in last year and you have a disappointing season, and those whatever weaknesses are in your game become known to you. Like prior to this offseason, his training, he wouldn't even maybe be acutely aware of where he might need to focus on with his training specific to what he's doing between the pipes. But last year, getting exposed the way he did, and maybe there are two or three specific things, specific target things he could target that he could never have in the past because it took some level of struggle for those to be exposed to him. So he was able to work on those and now turn those possible weaknesses into something that are strengths. I think that's a real neat – it would have been a very impactful offseason for him in that manner to be able to identify things specifically that he needs to work on maybe for the first time in his life.
Well, and as Brian Munns mentioned earlier in the show on the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour with us, that, you know, the team doesn't fold when they're under siege like they were last night in the last 8 or 9 minutes. And he doesn't either. Like the panic or the maybe not panic, but the figuring out of things as things maybe get more hectic in a game seem to be leveled off as well. And we all heard Connor Hellebuyck last year talk abundantly about how his confidence wasn't affected. But then the season ends, he goes into the off season, and then he comes back and he says, well, that's the first thing I worked on was my confidence and my poise. And you could really see that, as Brian Munns touched on last night. And that helps the team in my mind too.
And working on confidence is interesting, right? Because that's nothing you're doing really in the gym or on the ice, although it's a part of it, but that's a real... That's all inside battle and just kind of coming to an understanding of where you're at. And the training helps kind of get back and on the ice practicing helps to get back. But there's nothing really specifically you can do to get your confidence back outside of telling yourself over and over again that you are good, you are capable of better things.
Yeah, and I would say too that if he comes into the season with this newfound approach and this newfound workout, like it might not be completely true, but in his head, he's probably thinking, I got an edge on every goalie in the NHL. I'm doing stuff that nobody else does. And for him to put up the numbers he did last year, you know, which were, I guess, below average, I think is probably fair to say. And he didn't have that knowledge putting up below average numbers. So then it kind of feels like, well, I mean, what's my roof? What's my ceiling here? Now that I've got this wealth of information and knowledge here, and it's completely shown. Like he just looks... so solid. Like, yeah. It's his crease, it's his net, and it's like a force field is up there. And you know what? There's been an added element of athleticism in his game, too. He's moving, like, and it's not like a Marc-Andre Fleury type thing or a quick.
His East-West stuff, huh?
But, yeah, like, yeah. He's moving side to side a lot better.
And the one where he took ripped off his mask early
in the
first game
period.
Last night, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's a great save. Does he make that last year? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Or he's out of position on the shot after that. So it's a lot of little things that go into it. And especially when you had the base that he had, as you know, a lot of people looked at him and said, this is the best goalie prospect in the NHL. You add all that on top of it, and I think you're getting what you're getting right now, which is, it really is. It's elite goaltending the Jets are getting right now.
Dallas is here tomorrow night, the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday night. Is he your goalie the next two games?
I don't see how he's not. I really don't see how he's not. There's no reason to rest or... You know, just take a peek at Mason. Mason went to win on the 27th there. Yes, I just don't see. I think there's a few games still upcoming here before you need to. They got a back-to-back on the 10th and the 11th, right, with Vegas and Arizona. That's probably the next time you see Mason.
Yeah. It's getting to the point with Hellebuyck, too, where it's not even, well, keep playing him until he has an off game and then throw Mason in. It's getting to the point where you just keep playing him.
Like, he could have an off game. Mason could come in to help him, say, from the third period on, and you go back to Hellebuyck the next game, yeah.
He gets that in on it already. Like, that's, like, even if
he's
struggling.
It's knocking
in
on that door.
Or,
I think he's right there, right?
Say, you know, and, of course, heaven forbid, but say he loses 5-2 do you go to Mason then, or do you just ride him again, or like is he that hot in your mind?
I'm right there with Wicks. I think he's on the doorstep of this being his starting job. And if it's your starting job, then you have that type of that leeway, right?
That's kind of where I'm leaning to right now with this. And like the back-to-back is when you put Mason in. And if Mason plays well, then maybe the leash is a little bit shorter. But up until, like, there's just no reason to take him out of the crease. There's no reason at all. And if he loses a 4-5-goal game, I'd feel okay putting him back out there for the game right after that to see what he does in a bounce back.
Josh Morrissey will join us next live on the Big Show to talk about the win last night and the month of October, the first for the Winnipeg Jets. That's next on the Big Show, TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Talked with Jared Clinton and Brian Munns and did the top 100 players in the National Hockey League under 21 during the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour. You can get that on our website at TSN 1290 on the podcast, TSN1290.ca. That is, four Jets are on that list, top 100 players under 21 in the National Hockey League. An update on our mustache rides to Bell MTS Place in support of Movember, where the highest bid every Wednesday will get a ride to and from in our TSN 1290 mustache vehicle to a Jets game. And it's this Saturday is our first one, and all the proceeds will go to the Movember campaign, helping men's health and initiatives. It was 300. It's now up to 350. Cam bumped it up to. There's now a bid for $400. So you have till 9 o'clock to text 129090 with your name and your bid. Text 129090 with your name and bid. And the highest bid at 9 a.m. will get a ride to and from Bell MTS Place this Saturday and two tickets to the Jets and the Montreal Canadiens. The Jets beat the Minnesota Wild last night. They finished the month of October 6-3-2. Joining us live right now is Jets defenseman Josh Morrissey. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Good. Before we get into any hockey stuff, what was your best Halloween costume?
I don't think this year was my best. We had a little team get together and it was a little bit last minute, so I just took the easy road and dressed up as a cowboy. I pretty much have everything already from living in Calgary, so that was easy. But I think probably one of my best ones would have been last year, especially sort of being new to the team. I just went as a giant bear and had the full costume. So it took about half an hour before anyone knew who I was when I got there. So it was pretty funny, but it was definitely a little bit warm as the event went on.
And they had to hook you up to a glucose IV after you dropped 10 pounds. And that who would have won the award for best costume this year, man?
I think probably the pros. They always definitely put in a lot of effort, and they had great costumes and great makeup. Either them or Tucker Pullman sort of did the same thing as I did last year with the bear. He went as a big T-Rex, so that was pretty funny as well.
That is funny. What did the pros do this year?
They were just dressed up as sort of a like scary, sort of along the lines of like. Just a scary, like, sort of a Michael Myers type of theme, I guess, from Halloween. And, they were both, pretty freaky. That's for sure. You couldn't tell it was them.
Nicely done. Give us your thoughts on the game last night. Another big road win for the team, especially against a division rival. It wasn't easy, but, you guys are playing with a lot of confidence, it looks like, right now.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're playing for the most part the right way right now. I mean, last night, obviously anytime we're playing against Minnesota, who's, probably become our biggest rival, the game's going to be intense. It's going to be close and sort of the first team to, start to open it up or sort of give in to what the other team's trying to get them to do, is usually the team that gives up more chances. And for us, I mean, we had great goaltending, and you know, we just played a really solid road game, and that's what you have to do if you want to win those games.
Josh, Paul Maurice came on after the game and was kind of commenting on, yeah, you guys, when you're up like that, you're going to settle back a little bit, and you know the other team's going to bring it to you, but maybe that was a little bit much last night. What do you guys need to do better in those situations where you're protecting the lead and where you don't want to have to just sit there and absorb an onslaught to the degree that it was last night?
Well, I mean, definitely, I think it's obviously, you know, in those situations, you get up by a couple, and then, you know, Minnesota's going to push hard. You know, that's the time where they start to open it up. Their D get a lot more active, and they start to stretch up the ice a lot more. So I think for us as a back end, that's where we have to work really hard at getting up the ice, keeping those gaps tight in the neutral zone, and trying not to give them anything. And then as well, when we do get possession of the puck, having poise, which I thought we did in our own end and in some tough areas around our blue line where you can't have turnovers, but also, again, to you know, not be afraid to be aggressive in the offensive zone and get still get pucks to the net and try to make those plays. But at the same time, you know, in those situations that the other team's going to have a good push, and you know, especially once it gets to the last few minutes, you know, you're defending that lead. So I think we would like to have not given up so much easy ice through the neutral zone. I thought, like I said, we could have got up the ice a little bit more, but at the same time, you know, we found a way to manage through that, to battle through that. We had some huge saves, some big, you know, little plays like chips and block shots that, you know, help you win. And like I said, we found a way to win. So, yeah, we'd like to change it a little bit, but it was still finding that way to win in a tough game like that against a good team is always a big learning opportunity for us as well.
One of those plays, Josh, is when you tied up, I forget who the player was, stick, when there's a rebound right beside Hellebuck, and you tied it up long enough for a teammate to come and get the puck out of harm's way. You know, you did a great job on Sidney Crosby as well, I thought, in that game. You played over 11 minutes against him. How important is that structure to helping Connor Hellebuck be as good as he's been so far this year?
Well, I mean, first off, Helly's played amazing and made some huge saves, you know, to bail us out if we have made mistakes. But at the same time, definitely, you know, for example, last night when you're in that 6-on-5 situation, the goalie's pulled, we're really just trying to stay as tight to the net as we can. And, you know, obviously that's where the puck has to get to score. And most teams will try to outnumber you at the front of the net and just get pucks in there for those rebounds and try to get a greasy one or, you know, something off a little rebound. So, yeah, I mean, that's where you have to try to tie up those sticks. And I think for us, you know, I think we've been a lot more committed to defense since the first two games of the year. I think, you know, we haven't been giving up as many of those sort of hope plays or, you know, big turnovers in the neutral zone that just cost you against good teams. So, definitely it's our commitment to defense has been a lot better, but you know, that being said, Helly's been playing awesome and Mace as well. You know, he played amazing for us in Columbus, and you know, that first win's coming for him too. So definitely our goalies over this last stretch have been great.
Can you maybe share a story or two with us on the young fellow Brendan Lemieux coming up? He just cut, you know, has that pee and vinegar and operates with that agitator type mentality. A young fella coming in, and just some insight maybe into his early contributions and how much fun maybe he is in the locker room and such.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing is, you know, Brendan, he's a really solid player. He's aggressive, obviously he's physical, and he's not afraid to go up against anyone or to get into any scrum or get in on the forecheck on anyone. So it's fun to watch. You know, he's a guy that he's come up to the NHL, and you know, a lot of guys come up and are are quiet or nervous or sort of looking around, which usually isn't the best recipe, or even if they are playing on the ice with that sort of confidence and confidence in their game off the ice, they might be, you know, sort of a little bit quiet and takes a little bit of time to open up. But yeah, no, Brendan's awesome. He's a guy that, you know, he fits right in, and he definitely, you know, he's right in the card game, you know, things like that. He's just right in there with the team. So he's awesome. And, you know, it's definitely the room's a little bit louder when he's around. He, you know, he gets stirs the pot a little bit and makes it a lot of fun.
Supplemental income in the NHL team card games for sure. Josh, we appreciate you joining us. You got Dallas and Montreal at home this week. I know you got to get to practice at noon today, Bell MTS Iceplex, if anybody wants to go down and see the team practice. Thanks for doing this again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Josh. Take care, man.
We will take a break, and your calls on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290, next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki, weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. The latest bid we got for our mustache rides to Bell MTS Place for NHL Jets games, or Winnipeg Jets games, I should say, and this Saturday's game against the Montreal Canadiens. Just before 9, I saw one for $450. So we'll just get the final tally here and see if there's one higher than that. And if not, we'll get the winner to you shortly. And if you're just tuning in, it is Movember, and we're taking part here once again at TSN 1290. I'll be growing a Movember in support of men's health and awareness. And you can join TSN 1290 every Wednesday during Movember to help raise funds and awareness for men's health. Once again, men are dying too young. 45 men die from prostate cancer every hour. Testicular cancer is the most common cancer in men under 40. The Movember movement addresses these issues by raising funds and awareness for men's health projects around the world, and you can help by placing a bid on TSN 1290 mustache rides to Bell MTS Place. Today, between 6 and 9, we're auctioning off a mustache ride in our specially decorated TSN truck to see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Montreal Canadiens this Saturday at Bell MTS Place. Part of the prize is, for the highest bidder, a pair of tickets to the game, of course, and a free ride, transportation to and from the game. And all the proceeds will be going to the Movember movement. Every Wednesday, you can text 129090 with your bid and your name, and the top bidder will get the mustache ride for that day, with all proceeds, again, going to men's health initiatives and the Movember movement. So $450 was the last bid I saw. We'll get the highest bid to you and announce the winner of this week's tickets to the Canadiens and the Jets and a ride to and from the rink on Saturday. And we'll have more details on the Movember movement on our TSN 1290 page and my page as well coming up. Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Lots to get to. The Jets in the Wild, of course. World Series Game 7 and the Bombers. Closed practice yesterday. Darren Bombing telling us he feels it will be Dan Lefevre as the starter. Who would you like to see behind center when the Bombers go to Calgary on Saturday? Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you at 780-1290, the Boston Pizza fan line. And Greg, you're on the show kicking us off today. Go ahead.
Good morning. Happy Movember. Great cause. So
yes, and to you, sir. Are you partaking?
I don't rock a stash very well.
That's the whole point, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
I feel bad because mine comes in and it's just straight sexy.
That's the perfect. Yeah, mine. I wouldn't want that for me. It wouldn't go over as well.
To be honest, I was watching Patrick Laine last night, and I'm like, that's what Movember's all about. The Amish gold blonde duster is just, that's what it's all about.
I don't think he's doing it for Movember, though.
No. He's just doing it because he can. Go ahead, Greg.
Just a couple things. I'm really hoping for a Bomber playoff. Well, they're going to have a playoff game. I would love to see a home playoff game. There's just something about those cold beers in those stands to come playoff time that makes the body warm. But, you know, it's easy to get down on the Jets when they're not doing well. And, you know, I'm guilty of it. But I will say that since that Edmonton game, I've been impressed with how they've turned around. The season could have got off to a horrendous start, and you know, by all means, there's lots of work to do still. But I think Hellebuck has really just played great, and I wonder sometimes if you think because he has Mason, who's not a tremendous goalie by any means, but I almost think Hellebuck, this is his opportunity to be an NHL goalie, and he's rising to that occasion right now. So, again, still work to do, but I just want to say, as a Jets fan, I'm pleased at the way things are going. So, thanks, guys.
Good call, man. Hellebuck was, even if he failed here in Winnipeg, he would get another chance somewhere else. He had, I think, that the pedigree and his resume was impressive enough that a lot of people had huge expectations for Connor Hellebuck.
But I would say that sometimes it helps young guys to have somebody push them for the job, right? Because
inevitably, yeah.
Hellebuck went into last year as the anointed starter. Steve Mason went into this year as the anointed starter, right? So if you're Hellebuck, and he was going to work his ass off either way in the offseason, right? But the Jets make the move on July 1 to bring in a goalie who's, you know, to be fair, Steve Mason has taken the Flyers to two different playoff rounds, right? So it's not like they brought in, you know, some scrub off the street to back up Hellebuck. They brought in a guy who's had decent NHL experience, right? So that, I think that you can't just look past that fact as a factor into, I don't know how much of a role it played, but it is a factor into Hellebuck maybe taking a bit of an extra step.
I think it's cool because anyone who has any sort of competitive soul, if you're in the situation of Connor Hellebuck and they bring in a guy and just say, here, you're the starter, and the basic narrative in and outside the organization is that new guy coming in is the starter, there's probably two words first off in Connor Hellebuck's head, and one of them starts with an F, and then you, like, just that tiny little bit more motivation you've got to say, no, that's not the way it's going to work out. I'm going to battle and steal that back from him. That's that internal competition that can happen that ultimately makes teams a lot stronger.
Well, and two things along that line. Like Trevor Kidd was saying throughout the year last year, he can't emphasize enough when you're that young and experience what you're experiencing, how important it is when you're even just sitting in the room going, man, like this in yesterday's game with blah, blah, blah. And to do it, like, no offense to Michael Hutchinson or anybody else, but they just, you know, they're like, yeah. You know, as opposed to Mason. And I know they signed Mason for his talent, his skill. They believe he's going to help this team. I believe he's going to help this team. But you're literally talking to a guy who was at the top of his game in Columbus. Then he lost it and got dealt. And then he sort of bounced back throughout the years in Philadelphia. He's got that experience that Trevor Kidd said is needed for any young goalie to just sometimes just sitting in the room going, you know, have you ever been through this, been through that? And the other part of that is Steve Mason talking about, you know, Connor Hellebuck's been very welcoming during the preseason and training camp. We actually get together and watch NFL games together and stuff like that. Just that whole relationship. At the very least, it cannot hurt. But I do believe it's actually helping as well. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line. Thanks for the call, Greg, and the opinion. 780-1290 on the Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio. Terry, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Quick question before I get a couple of points. In that Movember vehicle that's going to chauffeur folks around, is there any shag carpet in it? Just checking. You may want to check.
Well, we do have a giant mustache on the front that actually one of our bidders last year said he wants the mustache, too, and he upped the bid a little bit. So we do have a new mustache.
Might have some of those lamb seat covers.
And it's on the front, so the mustache is clean and brand new. And we'll maybe get some shag carpet in there. I don't know.
There is, for those that are old enough, they can remember there was the longer shag carpet and the shorter shag carpet. So anyway,
Do you want some dice hanging from it and maybe a lady on a polar bear with a sword like those Vans in the 70s?
Lava Lab would be nice.
Carry on, Terry.
Okay. Here's a question. I'll toss it out there. Is it such a bad thing if number 29 on the Jets has a, I won't say mediocre, but has an okay year, has a bit of a sophomore drop-off? Because I think what I'm seeing there is the quickness of the game. He still has to kind of match that speed, and he's still not quite there yet. And the reason being is if he has sort of a bit of a a transitional year, a bit of an off year. That takes some of the contract pressures off, because right now, as it stands, he is not Jack Eichel, anywhere Connor McDavid, Matthews type of money. So, you know, we signed dealers for, you know, is he, let's just say he has an okay year. He pops in similar type of goals, 30, 35 goals, nowhere near the 40 to 50 that everyone's expected. But when contracts come around, that does that take some of the pressure off management? We could sign him around Ehlers money for that term versus him having a stupendous this year, and then you're forced to saying, is he worth, you know, $8.5 million? So anyways, I'll let that go, and I'll listen to your comment.
I don't think there's any way, no matter, like, if you're Patrick Laine, and let's say you stall at 30 to 35 goals this year, you're not going to sign a six-year deal for $6 million. You're going to sign something couple years at $6 million maybe, and then let's see what happens after that.
Yeah, and you know what? I think after 20 games, he's going to be knocking close to 10 goals, and we're going to be looking at this saying, okay, can he get up to 40, 45 again? Like, it's just the nature of goal scorers is that people like to think that the elite snipers in the game score a goal once every two games. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are streaky by nature. Yeah. Line A's shooting a lot more than he did last year, which is a really, really encouraging sign.
He'll take off once they put Ehlers on the first power play.
But yeah, maybe. But like, people just expect this out of him every single game. Like, just there's going to be a time in the next 10 or so games where he'll drop five goals in two games or something like just something ridiculous like he did last year, right? Like, I wouldn't be too concerned until, I don't know, if he's got something like eight goals in 30 games or something like that.
We haven't brought up him floating into the middle on that power play last night on a number of occasions in the 1-3-1 situation. Like, what the hell was that all about?
Or the stylish two-handed fall-down slash to the back. I was falling from line. You know, we talked about this a bit yesterday, and you know, it's going to be tougher for him this year, and he is only 19. I don't think team-wise, say if he scores eight or nine goals less than he did last year, it'll hurt the team. I think there's enough offense around it that could be picked up from some of the players on it. For him personally, it'll be interesting. Say he scores 32 goals this year, and then he goes into his next year and say he scores 30, how that would affect the contract. Because historically, Kevin Cheveldayoff always gets fair market value. He doesn't overpay, but he doesn't underpay either. But he gets what the market dictates. And sometimes he gets away with the Shifley, the Ehlers contracts like that. So it will be fascinating if his goal total and his production doesn't increase every year, what the next contract's going to be.
We got Claude Edernie on the line here, but I agree with Troy on the power play. I don't know what the Jets are thinking moving him from that spot there. I thought it was I saw it happen the first time, and I wanted to just double check.
Wondered, like, if it was a weird rotation they're going to get out of it, right?
Yeah. Like, sometimes you'll see him at the top of the blue line just because, you know, the way the play shakes out. But it was numerous times, and it was for more than periods of 10 seconds or so where they brought Liney in there. And I don't know if they're trying to get Shifley some space on that spot there, but that is crazy to me to think that moving Patrick Laine into the middle, into more traffic, is going to help out your power play and get him more open.
Mm-hmm. We've got to take a break, but Claude and Ernie, hang on. We'll get to you next and more of your calls on The Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio on TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
On TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca, Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki live in the Royal Sports Studio on the Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Claude, you are on the program. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, my fellow friends, bonjour, Troy, how are you?
Comme si, comme ça.
Your French has improved 66%.
Oui, oui, hey,
that's a good course here on the French.
Regional Comprehensive High School, bruh.
Because I had a friend that had, lucky he got checked in time because they caught it in time, you know, so it's a great cause.
Gotta catch early.
I'm glad that your station is doing that. Keep up the good work, Mr. Flyer fan. Brendan.
Thank you.
You got to have nerves of steel to take for the Flyers, you dick. But November, Jim Thorpe, what a great addition to the morning staff. I love it when you get mad in those different voices you use. I believe in your voice, capiche?
I capiche. Ça va bien.
I'm very happy for his halibut. Last year, they didn't use him well. He wasn't ready, but he decided that over the summer, I'm going to show them, and I'm going to play hard, and I'm very happy for him. And who else I'm very happy for is Brendan Lemieux. He's got that pepper pot attitude, and we need somebody on that line like that.
Pepper pot,
so
I like that.
They're going to keep him up because I think he's got a lot. He's got a hell of a shot. He's got that determination, and that's what we need. And I'm very happy for Halibut. So that's all I want to say, and take care, guys. And as we say in French, salut, capiche?
Salut, Claude. We went around the globe on that one. Thank you. We covered all aspects. To your point, Connor Hellebuck, 6-0-1, a 1.91 goals against average and a .940 save percentage right now in his 7 games to start the season. Thanks for the call, Claude, and the thoughts.
He's got a .914 shorthanded save percentage, and that's crazy.
Wow.
Right, like my league average, .880-ish sort of thing. That's outstanding what he's doing.
Back to the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on the Big Show. Ernie, you're on the program. Go ahead. Hi, Ernie. No, Ernie. We'll get the phone ringing if you can. Sorry to make you wait, Ernie. If you can, way back in, all means do so. 780-1290. Those are very, very good numbers through 7 games.
And just watching him, like he's just in such command and control. He's just in like emitting something, right? Like that strength. He just looks so in control of his game. He is a lot of fun to watch right now.
1.91 goals against average, .940 save percentage through 7 games for Connor Hellebuck once again. A big week for the team. They have another divisional foe coming to town, and really who's ahead of them in the standings, albeit with one more game played, is the Dallas Stars. They're here tomorrow night. In the Central Division, the Dallas Stars are actually right behind them because they've played 12 games. The Jets have played 11. Both teams have 14 points. Colorado, Nashville, Chicago all have 12 points. St. Louis, 13 games, 10-2-1, 21 points to start the season. And they're getting healthy now. Bollmeister expected back. Steen came back last week.
You got to love what Mike Yeo's doing with that group. Just invested and doing well in Dallas upcoming. I believe their power play is operating at 30%. So, you know, the boys, the Jets are doing, it's sort of two things coming to a head here. The Jets are doing well with their penalty kill as of late. Dallas brings it big time. Stay out of the sin bin, boys.
Battle for second place tomorrow night at Bell MTS Place right here on TSN 1290, as well as Dallas and Winnipeg have 14 points each. Dallas has played one more game. Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Who's next?
Full lines here, but let's start with Mark.
Mark, you're on the program. Go ahead. Mark has left us. Who's next?
Guy.
Guy, you're on the program. Go ahead.
All right, just got a couple of questions quick. First of all, do you think that Laine is in a sophomore slump right now because he's not scoring? And on a side note, I've gone to see the Moose play a few times now, and who would you call up as a defenseman, as your first defense call-up, and who would be your first forward call-up if that situation happened? Strictly hypothetical.
Guy, we'll start with you. Who would your call-ups be if you've been watching him play?
Well, that Buddy Robinson looked pretty good.
Yeah,
as a forward.
People are speaking well of him, yeah.
And I like that Melchiori. I just like the way he plays. He seems pretty confident when he plays.
He keeps his game simple. I agree. But both those guys, you know what? I think you're bang on both. In all reality, you're bang on. Those would be the first two guys in each position coming up.
I don't know if Buddy would be the first forward. But I think Julian would be the first defenseman for sure, given his...
I wonder, what about Sammy Niku?
I don't think he's... Well, maybe.
Melchiori,
it depends
when he's been called up, he's played a pretty... Like, there's nothing fancy there, but skates well for a big guy and just kind of gets it done. Along the lines of Schrott, just keep it simple and get it done.
Sophomore slump, yay or nay?
People are raving about Buddy Robinson. No, it's too early. I can't give him the sophomore slump yet, no.
I just don't get that. Because he doesn't have 8 goals in 12 games, it's a slump? I don't know. I'm not seeing the same thing everybody else has seen, apparently. Although I do wonder, and you mentioned this in the break, Jim, at some point if you look at moving Line A up there on the top line with Scheifele. I just think him and Scheifele have better chemistry than Line A and Little do.
6 points. And I think the thing that's stopping that is Scheifele, Wheeler, and Connor having good chemistry. Like, that's another thing that, like, the one might not be firing on all cylinders, but the one line is. So that also weighs into it. I don't think it's a sophomore slump yet. I need to see more games. 6 points, 4 goals in 11 games. We'll take a break and more of your calls when we come back on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on The Big Show on TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca from the Royal Sports Studio. Jim Tilk, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. The Jets beat the Wild last night 2-1 in St. Paul. And we'll come back to take on another Central Division rival, the Dallas Stars. Tomorrow night, we'll have it live for you here on TSN 1290. The team practices at Bell MTS Iceplex today at noon if you want to go out and take that in. And then, of course, the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday night. Our mustache rides to NHL Jet or Winnipeg Jets games and National Hockey League games. Movember initiative, all funds going to the Help Men's Initiatives and Health Awareness. With Movember, every Wednesday we're going to auction off a ride to and from the game and tickets to the game. Our top bidder this week for the Montreal Canadiens game was $450 from Ken Hebert. Ken Hebert, we can't thank you enough for your generous donation, and we will pick you up, get you to the Jets and Canadiens Saturday at Bell MTS Place, and of course get you home as well. Now, we did get some other bids. One was $451. One even was higher at, I believe, $475, but they pulled the Cleveland Browns. They came in after 9 a.m.
Nice.
So it has been nullified. So we do it every Wednesday. We appreciate you trying to get in under the wire. But if a text comes in after the deadline at 9 a.m., we cannot accept that bid. So Ken Hebert, $450. Thank you for your generosity, and I hope you enjoy the game. We'll get you to and from on Saturday, and we'll do it next Wednesday. And next Wednesday's game is for tickets to the Philadelphia Flyers game.
Oh boy.
On November 16th. The other games we're giving tickets and rides away to in support of Movember are the New Jersey Devils on the 18th, the Minnesota Wild on the 27th, and the Vancouver Canucks on December 11th. So if your bid came in late, we do appreciate it. But sorry, you pulled the Cleveland Browns. We will, however, do it again next Wednesday.
So one seriously did come in late.
Pardon?
One seriously did come in late.
Yes, one came in at 4:51 late, and one came in at 4:75 for a bid that was late
wow.
as well. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how strict we are. We're trying to raise money for a great cause, but rules are rules, Cleveland Browns. You don't get it in. You don't get A.J. McCarron, if that is his real name. I don't even know. So thank you, seriously, and we'll do it again. We'll get our Movember Facebook page up. We'll get my own Movember page up today, and we appreciate your support throughout the month of Movember. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line. Phone lines are full, so we'll get to those, 780-1290. Brad, you're on The Big Show. Go ahead. Hi, Brad. No, Brad, we'll go to Steve. Steve, you're on the program. Go ahead, Steve. No, Steve.
Steve. It sounds like no nothing there.
No nothing, yeah. Are we live? Sorry, Steve. Call back if you can. Barry, you're on The Big Show. Go ahead.
I'm here.
Hey, hi, Barry.
How you
hey,
doing?
Guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. First off, I want to give a big shout-out to the Jets. They're playing fantastic hockey, entertaining. It's well worth watching. Secondly, I'd like to know the chances of the Bombers going into Calgary are slim and none, and we know Slim left town a week ago. If we lose, which we will probably, Saskatchewan plays Edmonton. If they beat Edmonton, just say they do, do they finish third or do they automatically still finish fourth? How's that working?
I believe they finish third.
So Saskatchewan beats Edmonton, they finish third, and they have to come here.
I believe
so. Our chances to finish second look pretty slim, don't they?
Well, I just looked at, Barry, you'll like this one. This morning I was looking at Calgary, and what they've done at home so far. They're 7-1 at home, 285 points for 129 against. They got a plus 156 points diff at home. They win by average by 20 points.
Well, Troy, that's like having a 1-9 shot at the track.
Pretty
that's
much.
Another thing I want to ask. It's the big Breeders' Cup this weekend. I hope you guys at least give 10 minutes on Friday towards the Breeders' Cup, and maybe, Troy, you can throw us a few picks.
Yeah, we might have to have our buddy Darren Dunn on to talk a little bit of Breeders'
Cup,
man.
That'd be great. That'd be wonderful.
Okay.
And one other thing I'd like to know, and it bothers me because I tune in and I love football. What happened to Chris Schultz, if you don't mind me asking, if you can tell us? Okay, guys, I'll let you go. Have a great day.
Thanks, Barry.
Dealing with some things, so far as I understand. He is a backup on the TSN website, though, offering his hot picks for the NFL, which his record might be a little bit better than the Big Show's at this point in time. But Chris Schultz is, so as I understand, working his way back at TSN. He'll be back soon.
Just has some personal issue he's dealing with, but yeah, as he said, he's making his NFL picks, which were bang on, by the way. I might read those a little bit more before we make our own picks.
I think they come out after ours. See, that's the thing. We can't even cheat or utilize other picks because most come out after ours.
I was just going to say, Schultz, a little bit earlier in the week would be awesome. Thanks, pal. I'll give you full credit, I swear. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Thanks for the call, Barry. Andrew, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just regarding the Jets.
Sound like you got taken on the corner right there.
Was that the point? Like, just regarding the Jets. you cut out there, Andrew, so by all means, call back 780-1290 and we'll get you on the Boss Pizza fan line. Who's next?
Let's go to Ron then.
Ron, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead, Ron.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I really, really am a little annoyed with the people that call up and talk about Lyonie and why he's not scoring or why isn't he scoring. The guy's 19 years old, and he's going to get it together, and I have no problem. You know, I don't have a problem with what's going on. Yeah, sure, I'd love to see him score. Everybody loves to see the guy score. He scores highlight real goals, but that'll come. As for Connor Hellebuyck, and you guys have been talking about it, and Troy, you talk about it a lot positionally and how sound he looks and how comfortable he looks. And I saw some of those saves last night. I was listening to it on the radio at work, but I saw some of the highlights, and this guy looks confident. And I am so happy to see that. All these haters last year saying, trade Hellebuyck, you know, he's done, and I heard so much of that, and it was it just goes to show that, well, first of all, people out there don't have enough patience, and, like, you know what? I'm just really, really happy that we protected him, and we've got him, and he looks like a goalie that can and have the potential to be an elite goalie in the NHL if things keep on going. And as long as the Jets keep on playing their game. Now, yesterday when we were up 2-0 and then we went down 2-1, I mean, they scored, and then there was a barrage. Well, you're obviously going to get a push from the Wild. You knew that was going to happen, and they survived it. And last year that wouldn't have happened. They would have lost that game. So I like the direction that these guys are going. Everything's looking good. Connor and Lemieux need to stay up, and Kyle Connors. Sorry, guys.
Yep.
And it's fantastic. I'm loving it. Can't wait till they meet Philly and kick the crap out of them. Take care, guys.
I know there's, you know, we all know that there's gonna, you protect a 1 or 2 goal lead, and there will be a barrage, and we see it in all the games we watch, right? For sure. The only thing that bothered me about the Jets yesterday, and sure they survive it, but there's some luck involved as well as surviving that. And I didn't like how when the Jets were able to escape their zone yesterday, I thought that they did not do a good job, or it did not look like it was in their mindset at all to get the puck down low and cycle, like just go out of your way to cycle it and keep it down low. To me, they were sending Evander Kane-ish type of shots towards the net that had zero chance to go in from the boards, right? Instead of chipping it down below and go get it and just take 10, 15 seconds off the clock by doing that. They didn't seem organized or in the right sort of headspace when they were able to escape their zone.
They got some bounces tonight, last night for sure. Like, there was a couple tips that went off posts, a couple shots, a couple times Hellebuck just screened and didn't see it and it whizzed by. But, I mean, those are the breaks that, you know, you get in the game of hockey.
But that's what my point is. You don't rely on breaks like that. And be smarter when you're exiting your zone and have the understanding. Hey, instead of I think a lot of times, guys, when you're protecting a lead, it is better to bypass the shot on net, depending on, you know, if it's a super low danger shot, you're probably going to lose possession. And often it was one guy with another guy trailing. If you can chip it deep into the zone, you're better off to go down there and have a wrestling match for it for 10, 15 seconds than you are a shot and bam, possession right back into your own zone.
Thanks for the call, Ron. We appreciate it. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line. I'll try and get to all your calls. Whom is next?
We got Jeff and Scott on hold, but let's get to Kevin.
Kevin, you're on the Big Show. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
A quick one. I know the Jets are making a lot of noise right now in the NHL, and I know we have, I don't want to say a surplus of goaltenders, but we have a decent supply of, you know, number one, two, three. What do you think Chevy might be thinking as far as possibly making a deal with the Golden Knights, being that they're on their, what, fourth or fifth, or I don't even know what the hell goalie they're on now? And do you think they could work out a deal with a couple of teams or get a couple of guys from the Golden Knights, trade those off, maybe make a push for a player that we might need for down the road with a couple of the guys out right now, and maybe make a bit of a splash now, put, you know, give a big push before the Thanksgiving break, and make ourselves coast the rest of the way, and I'd love to listen to your answer. Have a good day, guys, and enjoy the snow.
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, 2 to 3 centimeters today expected in the city.
It's already white out, yeah.
Concerning the Vegas Golden Knights, and we talked about this a bit, and Michael Hutchinson, teams are calling about him. It depends on what Kevin Cheveldayoff wants to value him at, I think, and really what other teams value him at. Let's be honest. Like, he would be fine with Vegas right now because they need a goalie. But in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, when they get healthy, Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, is expected back. So you also have to think about it in my mind is, if in a month from now you get Hutchinson and whatever you pay for him, in a month from now all three of your goalies, including Marc-Andre Fleury, are healthy again, you're likely going to waive him. And if he's taken on waivers, so the price from Vegas' standpoint has to be, what are we willing to pay for a couple of weeks? Whereas from Cheveldayoff's standpoint, I think you're going, well, here's a goalie that's going to help you. So the value of that, to me, is from the Golden Knights' perspective of, if we're literally not going to have this guy on our roster probably in a month, what are we willing to pay for him?
And I'll say this, man. Hellebuck or Mason gets hurt.
Yeah.
You need Hutchinson.
Are you bringing up Comrie, or are you bringing up Hutchinson?
Comrie's, like, Hutch's numbers are better than Comrie's right now in the A. He's got a 918 compared to a 910. And in his time in the NHL, as much as he struggled early on last year, he did pull it out of the fire late. And he's got a 910 over his 99 games in the NHL. So you kind of need, like, it'd be a little bit risky, I think, trading Hutch away, unless you were able to capitalize and get something in some sort of package deal that helps you.
But I don't think you're going to get anything worth that risk.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, goalies just aren't traded for much value. And that's usually kind of the fringe starter types. Never mind a guy who's third on your organizational depth chart right now. So, like, what you would be getting back is, what, a fourth liner?
And they're not valued much because, who the hell can't play goal?
Well, that I would agree with. And they're just idiots in general, right? But
I'm just feeding the animals here.
Yeah, I love it. I didn't eat breakfast. Give me more.
And that's where the deal lies, is you have a team willing to deal their third-string goalie to a team that literally could be their fourth- or fifth-string goalie in a month. Like, that's where the value and agreeing to something is in play. But I do think that there are teams interested in Michael Hutchinson. It's just, what is the price and what is the cost of it?
Hey, you're willing to give up that insurance.
Exactly. Thanks for the call, Kevin. 780-1290 in the Boss Pizza fan line. Jeff, you're up. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. Hey, I was just looking at the Jets' wins and the losses here, and I noticed one thing that Bufflin either does or doesn't do in terms of wins or losses. And that's when they're breaking out of their own zone, Bufflin will often pass it forward. But if he ever passes it back, they seem to lose that momentum and eventually the game. So comments on that theory.
Well, I think the only time he passes it back is on the power play, right, when they're coming up the ice, where you see a lot of teams do that. But those are the only times he's got trailers behind him. So No, he's definitely never dumb-butted.
There was...
right?
You know, that could be played two ways. I like it. Dumb-butted. You know, I did notice a couple of times when he got into trouble, he tried the back pass, like, beside his net to maybe put it off the back boards, and it didn't go well. But, yeah, the only consistent time I see him do it is on the power play when he's trying to get somebody to get into the zone.
I think, really and truly, since he's come back from that injury, that there's not a lot of criticism in the game of Dustin Byfuglien. People are upset about that one goal in overtime against Columbus, but even that one I thought was that you could reason, just because on 3-on-3 situations – and to the degree that he was tired, but he's played pretty darn well since his return.
And people might kind of scoff at this notion, but he was on the ice in the last minute or so of the game last night.
Yeah.
I like him out there in the last minute. I really do.
Maurice puts him out there all the time.
I really do, because he amps up that intensity, and that's when you start to see the guy that people want to watch, right? He's not afraid to be physical on the boards, and he's got nice touch. Like, he's able to get the puck out without icing it. I think he's... I actually enjoy watching him when the Jets are protecting a lead.
How sweet was that sequence with Kunin? I think it was in the first period, maybe the second, right, where he falls, grabs a stick, pushes him down to the ground, actually, looking around for the ref, grabs a stick, looking around at the ref, pulls a stick out of Kunin's hand, looking around for the ref, throws it down, grabs his own stick. It was hilarious.
Whenever I see stuff like that, I think to myself, I wonder how many tweets I'm going to get right now about Byfuglien. Thanks for the call, Jeff, on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. We have to take a break. Scott, hang on the line, and everybody else will get to you on the Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you on the Big Show, TSN 1290. And this Saturday, November the 4th, all Tommy Gunn's original barbershop locations across Canada will participate in Cuts for Nuts, an event to support testicular cancer research. During the Cuts for Nuts event, $10 from every haircut or shave will be donated to the Movember Foundation. The Movember Foundation funds innovative research. They aim to stop men from dying too young. According to the foundation, testicular cancer strikes early. It's the most common cancer in men under 40, and diagnosis rates have doubled in the last 50 years. More info at TommyGunns.com, Cuts for Nuts. TommyGunns.com/Cuts for Nuts.
That catchphrase, or their what do you call that?
The tagline?
The tag makes, doesn't, like...
It sticks out, so it's doing its job, but things, I do cringe every time.
You got a little extra awareness in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I think of a former teammate who had an unfortunate incident, and I feel for him time I read that. We don't have time. Okay. Back to the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Scott, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning on this blustery morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Wondered what you guys thought, just taking a look at the Bombers and the unfortunate injuries here in the second half of the season. How much of a reality with CFL salary caps it is to have a second man up, next man up mentality, given the legged Nichols and Westerman, and Adams, all these guys, and what's the reality of a second man up, next man up mentality to succeed for the Bombers and many CFL teams? Calgary seems to be able to pull it off a little bit more than some teams, but other than that example, it's a little light in my opinion. So I get your thoughts on that, and if I could just give a quick thanks to Mo Leggett for meeting with our school again this last past game, even though he was hurt. We brought him a get well card, and thanks again to him for visiting the school. Mo is a pretty stand up guy in the community, so I'll leave you guys with that, and get your thoughts on the salary cap versus next man up option.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. You know, for me, and Troy would know way more about this, but for me, the whole league is an next man up. Like, how many times do we see somebody get injured and somebody literally get a job out of it because the league is so small, there's a lot of high-end talent waiting for a shot to play.
Yeah, and I think what Scott was implying was that given some of the economic restrictions, that it seemed to me that Scott was wishful that maybe there were more guys there for the CFL, that they had more money to spend on having guys in situations to come in and fill spots. But the Bombers, I believe it was going into last week that the Bombers had lost 61 man games to injury where the CFL average was 207. So the Bombers have gotten away with it, and they're paying a bit of a price here late in the season. But by and large, you know, it is difficult with the smaller roster and the salary cap and all the rest of it, but it is an equal playing field in that manner. It's certainly like what you just said there, JT, it puts a massive amount of emphasis on your scouting department. And I think, you know, since Kyle Walters has been here and with Govea and with McManus, that the Bombers have shown that they've done a pretty darn good job of adding depth, and that will continue to improve as the years go by.
Thanks for the call, Scott. Andrew, you're on the Boss Pizza fan line. We'll get you in before we have to go. Andrew, thanks for calling back.
Hey there, guys. Yeah, I just wanted to actually commend Maurice for what I think changed the outcome of the season so far anyway. I mean, I think there's a long way to go, but the Jets have clearly played a lot better since, you know, healthy scratching Buff. You know, I think what he did was he said, I'm now the alpha in the room where Buff was before. And, you know, when you have a bunch of young guys, I think it's tough when you have such an alpha dog that, is maybe a little bit complacent in the way he plays. And Maurice changed that a bit.
It's a bold statement.
I don't think he was healthy scratched.
The only thing I'll say to that, Andrew, is that things that make you go, right? Like, it, since his return, he has been locked in pretty dang good. Prior to that, he was outrageously roaming and looking not all as inspired as he searched. So whatever happened there, he definitely has looked good since his return.
I'd like to thank Matt Hendricks for taking him fishing and getting his mind right. Well, and he's been dialed in ever since.
The influence,
get your mind right, get your grind right.
Is exactly like that was part of the conversation last year, was that with the loss of Andrew Ladd, that Blake there, and this year with Mark Stewart, like there wasn't a lot of influence in that room that could go and appeal to a guy like Dustin Byfuglien if he needed to be reeled in. And acquiring Matt Hendricks, right, a highly regarded veteran and that sort of thing, he's the kind of guy that could appeal to Buff to extract a certain level of consistent attention to detail.
Appreciate the call, Andrew, and all the calls today and all the bids on the mustache rides to Winnipeg Jets games. We'll do it again next Wednesday, continuing to raise funds for the great cause of Movember. Thanks for all the bids. We'll do it again Wednesday, and thanks for listening. Thanks for all the calls. We'll do it all again tomorrow to tee up the Dallas Stars visit to the Winnipeg Jets at Bell MTS Place. On behalf of Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and myself, Jim Toth, we thank you for listening, and the Big Show will be back tomorrow morning at 6 on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.